Hey everybody, welcome to Pittsburgh Comic Podcast number 170. Big week, lots going on. Secret Wars, Thors, all sorts of stuff.
Thors what?
Thors. Well, there's lots of Thors, and then we found out who a Thor was.
See, if you don't turn over right, you get Thors.
Very, very Thor. Yeah, you get Thors.
He's good night. That's joke. A podcast.
He's tired of that joke because we were doing it yesterday.
So. Oh, okay.
Were you? Maybe on your own. I didn't hear that. Oh, you and Barry.
Yeah.
I think you were doing it on your own. Okay. I'm Colin McMahon, owner of Pittsburgh Comics. Joining me tonight are...
Josh.
Dave.
Pat.
Adam.
Okay. Now, I was remiss. We never made it to talking about Avengers Age of Ultron last week.
And you were yelled
I
at.
Was chastised for that.
Yeah.
Because someone wanted to hear what we said about it before they went to see it, and then since we didn't talk about
guess it... Guess you're never going to see it!
They had to go see it, and they weren't happy, so...
They had their own opinion.
With the movie, they didn't like
yeah,
it?
Well, they, yeah,
we're
no.
Sorry.
Yeah. We're sorry you had to form your own opinion.
No, not that, but just wanted to know our opinion. Hangs on every word we say.
They didn't like it?
No, they didn't.
Well, they should have came down here tonight to help stop someone else from going.
This is how to solve that issue. You watch the movie, a big red block comes on the screen and says, Marvel... And just assume that Colin didn't like it very much.
Did Blade have that?
What?
Did Blade have the Marvel?
I never saw Blade.
By that time,
you
I
never
don't,
saw
I don't
Blade?
Think
what the hell is wrong with you?
I don't think it did.
At that point, I was not contractually required to see every comic book movie.
But Blade looked awesome, and it
I don't
was.
Think, I don't think the first X-Men did either. I could be wrong.
It had the flippy, like the
they
old
changed
style
it. They
one.
Used to
yeah.
do the flip. Well, yeah.
yeah, and then it was like the
flippy Jar Jar.
Yeah.
I honestly am kind of blown away you never saw Blade.
I'm sorry, I'd never. It's I mean, I was never a real
it's
fan
good.
Of Blade.
Blade
no,
one,
the first
Blade
two
and
were
two
really.
Were
I
yeah,
like the
say,
I actually like the third one, but I know a lot of people don't.
It's not bad.
The third one's not bad, but it definitely is not anywhere near the first two.
Yeah. No.
But
Ryan Reynolds has a couple good lines in the third one, though.
Right, because Ryan Reynolds, although they call him Hannibal one. King, is playing Deadpool.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, so I yeah, okay. Just put him in a red suit.
He's a big comic book, man.
His juggling thunder line.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. yeah.
Can't say the
bookings. Sideways.
Yeah.
Speaking of people who have been in, like, that are comic book people that have been in movies, like, that really, like, are fans of it, Will Smith is a huge comic book fan.
Really?
So I thought that was kind of interesting.
I never knew that. How did you find that out?
He's a Spider-Man fan. But I knew that, too, because they also added into Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
He could be Miles Morales.
A lot of stuff.
Right.
Don't
could
even
be.
Joke about that.
I want it to happen.
You want Will Smith to be Miles Morales?
Yeah.
The adult Miles Morales.
Come on. You know, if they announced that Will Smith is Miles Morales, there's no way you could be upset about it. It would be so hilarious. There's no way you could be upset about it.
Yeah, he'd be like, I have to see this.
okay, yeah, good point. Good point. Yeah. Punches yeah. ultimate Doc Ock in the face. Welcome to Earth.
Doc Ock's like, I've lived here all my life. It was called Earth, but whatever. Uh-oh.
Could have been a barbecue.
See how we get sidetracked and it's all your fault.
It is your fault.
That was your moment to shine. And you
to shine? What? It could have, I wanted a barbecue? What was that like?
Sorry. No, it was from,
he was
Independence.
It.
From Independence Day. Did you not see that either?
I saw that in the theater whenever it came out. So that was what, 94?
96.
Okay, so it's been a while. It's not one I have to rewatch every year.
There's a holiday for it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Independence Day.
Yeah.
How else are you going to know the difference between Bill Paxton and Bill Pullman if you don't watch that movie?
Who cares? Who's the difference?
One's in Titanic, one's in Independence Day.
He has a pretty good speech in that movie, too.
That's true.
Yeah.
Exploded on
Then you had Randy Quaid.
That's right.
Up yours. Yeah.
And then you had him upload a computer virus via what kind of connection?
You had
Wi-Fi.
You had Randy Quaid playing himself in that movie.
Data was in it.
Yeah.
Data was in it. Randy Quaid
Jeff
played
Goldblum.
Himself. Jeff Goldblum played himself.
Yeah.
I'm just assuming Will Smith played himself.
I don't think
Will
so
Smith?
Because sometimes he seems
I don't think
douchey.
He's a pilot.
Anymore, yeah. He seems very. He seems
Although
then
I saw that thing recently where he and DJ Jazzy Jeff, like, did some party, like, at spring break, and I was like, yeah, that's kind of cool.
Yeah.
Not
he
douchey.
Did the song on that, what's that British talk show?
Graham Norton.
Mm. He did the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. He did a bunch of songs from it, and then DJ Jazzy Jeff was there, Carlton was there, And then his son was there, Will Smith's son was there, and they all did, like, different dances and songs.
See what happens when you don't control the conversation.
You're right, I'm like, and this has what to do with Age of Ultron?
You brought up all this stuff.
Will Smith.
You just brought up Will Smith again.
He's a comic book star.
Don't think I did.
He's gonna be Miles
I'll Morales. Rewind and see how that dealt with Age of Ultron.
I didn't start the
conversation. Oh, it's because you were stunned that I hadn't
Let me
seen
ask you
Blade.
This. What did you
so that
enjoy
clearly
more?
Tied in with
Age
Wesley Snipes.
Or that conversation?
Age of Ultron.
Whoa, that's hurtful.
Sorry.
Yeah. Is that
it? That's right here. All right, we'll start talking
yeah,
about
go
it.
On,
yeah,
go
so
on.
What's your opinion on Age of Ultron, Colin?
I thought it was there were a lot of great scenes, but I didn't think it was a great movie.
One of those great scenes was not the first scene, though.
No, that first scene was...
bad.
Bad. It was like DeVry-level CGI.
The CG was bad. The whole that's slow-mo lineup as we're
yeah.
flying forward.
Yeah, when they're clearly not all oh. in there.
The only good thing about that particular scene, though, is... that played out like it would have been a comic panel.
Yeah.
So from that perspective, that part was good. It got everybody on screen at the same time, because even in the first movie, that didn't really happen. Except for the... no, I take it back.
It did.
There
was
the
there
one
was like,
scene
they're all like
where
in
they
the,
were circled.
Which
yeah,
also
that
happened
one
in this movie. At,
yeah.
At the same point, roughly.
But...
no, yeah, it's like, here's all the Avengers, in case you don't know what you're
yeah.
about to see.
But even, I mean, that didn't make a whole lot of sense. It, like, where they dropped you into the movie, I guess unless you had seen Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. the week before, you have no way of, you know, okay, how did they link back up? Because, like, when you look at what happened at the end of the separate movie, you know, the end of Thor 2, he wasn't working for S.H.I.E.L.D., mm-hmm. you know, S.H.I.E.L.D.'s no more. S.H.I.E.L.D. collapsed at the end of Cap 2. At the end of Iron Man 3, he gave up being Iron Man. So there was nothing really to set up how they kind of came back together as a group.
Yeah.
And it was...
it seems like they just were operating, but then, like, it seemed like they set it up in the first Avengers movie as they all separate till they're needed again. But it seems like somebody was able
they
to mark
to
them all there.
So they can assemble.
Yeah.
But don't say assemble.
No. That was stupid.
If you start to say assemble,
what was the point of that? But why?
I think when so many people complained about them not saying it in the first
that
one, that it was...
they just wanted to slap their fans
yeah, exactly,
in the face.
Exactly, yeah.
Which is just
like
your job. That's a smart
because you're
going to
see the third one anyway.
Well... I'm going to see the third one, but am I going to be excited about a movie with Falcon and War Machine?
I kind of like, you know, War Machine in this movie, though.
Right, but yeah. I'm just saying, so the
I
next movie is going to be...
I actually like War Machine in this movie better than I think I liked Iron Man.
Well, that's because, yeah.
Well, okay, but
he was so out of character, and everything he did was ridiculous.
Yeah, but... okay, so beyond the first scene, which was just ridiculous, what did you think?
No, like I said, there were a lot of really good scenes. I liked the party scene with them and the hammer.
Was good.
That mm-hmm. was fun. But then...
I didn't like the Banner was essentially Stark's, like, assistant.
Assistant,
yeah.
Yes. And since I don't remember him being a master of...
everything?
Well,
AI
no.
and Gamma.
Well no,
gamma
but it wasn't...
was, but
it
like,
was, not the Gamma, but it was human physiology and stuff. It's like, I don't remember that. I remember him doing a Gamma Bomb.
Yeah.
But I don't remember that other stuff. My one big problem I remember sitting there thinking is, okay, you just found this alien artifact that the big bad guy was using, and you see that there's some sort of something in it. Are you going to immediately plug that into your mainframe? You know, I just didn't get that.
They
it's like, it would be like, oh,
virus
hey,
protection.
Look, we just conquered the bad
Norton's
guy.
Norton's up to date.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You know, oh, look, we just conquered
it?
Iraq. Look, I found a
message.
Thumb drive. Well, let's plug it into the Pentagon's mainframe and see what happens. It's like... would you really do that? You maybe attach it to, you know, a laptop that's not connected to Wi-Fi.
Yeah.
You know, that so from the very beginning I was just like, he wouldn't do that. You know, nobody would do that.
What did it do exactly? Did it like install something like from the cube or whatever the
Well, it was the artificial intelligence, but then and then it knew everything, and it could jump from body to body. That's where I didn't get how it was defeated at the end, because they showed you where it was talking, and then the other one came up from behind and ripped it up, and that was the new Ultron.
Well,
and, like, the consciousness traveled or
somehow
whatever.
Somehow they cut it off from the internet, and then they systematically destroyed all of the bodies that were there, so that way there was no place for else for it to escape. But I would think that before it was cut off from the internet, there would have been some form of its presence out there on internet, like hanging out in an AOL chat room or something.
Yeah, so that just seemed, just seemed weird.
ASL? ASL?
It just seemed to me, Tony was just completely,
gut picks.
I don't care how reckless he is, that's kind of above and beyond doing something like that.
Yeah.
Like, I could see that. I see where you're coming from. I have less of a problem with Tony, though, with them depicting Tony as doing something that out there, as they do with Banner. I don't think would have done something.
I don't think he would have went
that
out there.
I don't get.
He knows what happens when things go awry. Yeah, right. No, I agree. I did not care for the love story, and not because of the love story, but there was no chemistry between the two. There was nothing set up to show that they had a relationship. Oh, he was the Hulk, and she rubbed his hand. Oh, true love. You know, it just... that could be good. Oh, I like that.
I don't get why... I don't get why a lot of the characters did what they did, though. Like, a lot of it didn't fit, I don't think, who they were or what they left us with the first time. The last time we saw them. Like, Iron Man, like, did this thing where he quit. And I didn't really understand, like, why... After what happened in the last movie with Extremis, why he would want to create some sort of
the
robot.
The only way that scene at the end of Iron Man 3 is excusable is if at that point in time, Robert Downey Jr. thought that he wasn't doing any more appearances as Iron Man, and his contract was done, whatever. Avengers 2, he was definitely out on, then suddenly they got him back.
Yeah.
And then it's like, well, it's explained away. But knowing that he was going to be in this, why they had him destroy all the suits?
Yeah.
And then have all these suits again? They had Veronica and...
And as Colin was saying about, like, Bruce Banner doing, like, something that didn't seem very Bruce Banner-like, doing, like, computer stuff where he's, like, not that. Tony Stark's a mechanic, like, and he's able to do all this other stuff at the same time. It just, like, nobody knows what they do.
He's got Jarvis.
I guess. Yeah. I just didn't get it. And as I was saying about the staff, when he got the staff, like, what did that do, plugging it into it? Like, what exactly did a staff plug in a staff?
It had the AI in it.
Yeah.
It was inside of it?
It was in the gem.
But they didn't... They still had to do
something.
Or
stone,
to it,
I'm sorry. Yeah. They're not Infinity Gems
anymore.
Yeah, how
did they know they still had to, like,
do something to the software to make it turn into Ultron, because it just plugging in didn't take over their system.
How did they know that that staff was going to do something to what he already created, though? Like, why did he know that was going to be the thing that did it?
They realized there's some sort of, like, artificial intelligence or computer inside
stone. Of that gem.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't get where they figured that out.
But then it also showed that it destroyed Jarvis, and yet it turns out later the mysterious thing that was thwarting him was Jarvis.
Yeah.
Right.
That seemed a little, okay.
He had something.
But Jarvis didn't know he was doing it. They said that Jarvis was, like, thwarting him without even realizing he was thwarting him.
Wow, that's mighty powerful. Okay. Yeah.
You don't mess with Jarvis.
No, but I did like Jarvis.
Oh, I liked
Vision. Was great.
I thought Vision was the best part of the movie.
I thought they did justice with Vision and how we originally have seen him before.
And they did justice to Hawkeye in this one, I think.
I think so too, a little bit, but
almost
a little
heavy-handedly.
Yeah,
I think.
Just, oh, let's go to the safe house. Oh, it just happens to be my house with my family.
Yeah,
you know.
And, that was kind of out of nowhere.
And here's Nick Fury in the barn. It was
Nick Fury in the barn was really out of place.
Yeah.
But
maybe that's where he's been living.
Yeah, the family may have been a bit too much for Hawkeye, but just to really, like, develop his character, having, like,
well,
the,
and
the
also
quippy
what,
remarks and
what they were setting up was his death at the end. Because you knew it was a Joss Whedon movie.
Someone
was going to die. So they kept being, you know, giving you that.
No.
But And then the other thing at the end that I didn't get was, well, one, so they got everyone out of that city while fighting an army of Ultrons, yet Superman, 2 million people died in Metropolis. It's like, really? I don't think everybody got off.
I feel like they need to...
They just seemed a little...
A movie like this needs to meet somewhere in the middle between Man of Steel and Avengers 2. there has to be an effort to save people's lives.
Right.
But you have to be realistic and not, you know, oh, what would a
we
comic
did have Scarlet Witch doing her little thing where they
if it were a comic book, would they have said
they decide to walk out of their houses?
Yeah. If it were a comic book, would they have said in the panel that everyone's out?
No.
No, you don't think so?
Well, maybe. But, I mean, it's a city. You know, I don't...
You know what the truth is?
But where did the helicarrier come from? I realize it might have been explained in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., the TV show, but I'm like, last we saw... That was my big problem with it. Last we saw, Hydra had taken over. Nick Fury had walked away.
Right.
All that was done. And then all of a sudden, oh, yeah, Avengers are still good.
Right,
everything's still
great.
There was no... Yeah, there was no bridge to show, oh, they had defeated Hydra or anything. So, I mean, the original that opening scene where they're taking on Hydra, fine, but you had the entire U.S. government was Hydra, or not, it was controlled by Hydra, so it just, there was no follow-up from there.
I was actually kind of disappointed with the whole Baron Von Strucker
thing. That
because,
was a
like,
little...
they left us with that at the last one, like it was going to be something big.
He was too goofy.
And then after that, it was
whatever
just
you
like,
do,
oh,
don't surrender. I'm surrendering.
Right, and then he was killed off screen, so it was like, you know, they
Ultron with this crazy picture where you can see like part of him where he looks like a third person shooter game or something. And then he has like he's in the picture and then he killed Strucker and it was just like.
But at the end of which movie was it?
Captain America.
Yeah, it was Captain America. Yeah, where they had, you know, the scene.
Yeah.
It was very okay. He's in charge of Hydra. They got all this going on, and you know he's there. And then.
But then Nessie seems like a clown.
Yeah. Exactly. He was.
I feel like DC is so, with the one movie we've seen so far and the trailer for the next one, so, like, super gritty, and then Marvel's trying to be, like, too goofy and funny with these little, like, throwaway lines, like, don't surrender, I'm gonna surrender.
Yeah. They're being a little too,
Well, even goofy. Ultron.
I actually like James Spader.
No,
I
like James Spader.
No problem with James Spader. I wanted more. I wanted either more snark, more attitude, more snarling, or give me the standard Ultron, I will destroy you humans. You know, it started off.
You couldn't
off
have that. You couldn't have the I will destroy you humans.
No, but you had, there just wasn't enough manipulation. I don't know.
It wasn't. The first scene he's in is, you know, your puppets on a string, and I'm going to teach you, you know, and the whole there are no strings on me line.
It wasn't
earned.
He seemed more
menacing.
He seemed more terrifying in the trailer when he seemed like he was like something from a computer, something that had no emotion, like a robot. I was expecting something more of a Howl from 2001 A Space Odyssey.
Yeah.
He was very monotone. He was very, you know, and I think James Spader could have done that. Where you don't necessarily see him. And here's the biggest problem I had with the character altogether, though, and this goes to this attitude that he had.
Lips.
Was not just the lips, but the look of him himself seemed too human. And if he didn't move at all, if he was just like in the comics where eyes are just lit up and you didn't see anything, I think that would have been more terrifying because I always go back to where when George Lucas made Darth Vader... He purposely gave these characters, certain characters, I mean, C-3PO was one of them, but he gave certain characters no emotion, no movement to their faces at all, because showing no movement, no facial expression seems more terrifying of a character when you're not showing what you could be anything behind that mask.
Right.
In this case, like, he didn't seem like that. He was making jokes.
Yeah.
But not only that, it was inconsistent. It was inconsistent to where he was...
Well, I thought about
it. At some points, he was just, like, making jokes like, oh, your arm, you might, you know, an arm or whatever he was joking about. And then sometimes he was just, like, computerized.
But here's the thing. Part of what he did, it wasn't 100% what came from the stone. Part of it was what Tony wrote.
That's what I was about to say, yeah.
And so he has that bit of his father in him.
They made a point of saying a couple times that he sounds very much like Tony Stark.
Yeah, he had some moments.
So he had those same, like, arrogant quips and
jokes. I didn't like how he would get mad. Because it reminded me of, you know, the actual story of Ultron with Hank Pym, where he would always call Hank Pym father, and he would always be mad about him. Not all the time. Sometimes he would be all right, and sometimes he would. But it was very just I don't know. To me, it didn't seem like Ultron. To people that haven't read comic books, it might have felt differently, and they might have enjoyed it, but he reminded me too much of a Michael Bay Transformer. And that, I think that was my big problem with him. He was just too mechanized, too...
I don't know. I feel like when I walked out of the movie, though, I really didn't have any problems with Ultron.
I just didn't like the lips.
Yeah.
Just because in
especially that he designed himself.
Right. Just that they, I mean, that took a lot of effort into the lips. You know, you got to think, you know, little motors and all that stuff. And it just, why?
Yeah.
You know, that, it just, I get it as far as the movie thing, maybe, because it would look weird if it didn't have lips. Yeah. But I think it would be, like Adam said, far more menacing if it was just the face or even the jaw moving.
Well, but the other thing is,
the lips just was weird.
We've seen in other movies when Iron Man's on the screen and he's talking.
There's nothing.
We see nothing. And it works. Mm-hmm. So
right. So that's why I didn't see why they needed lips.
But that wouldn't work anyway. I mean, if they're using vibranium,
he looked cartoon
as his skull, which is not a very malleable.
Well,
metal.
Was it vibranium?
Going, no,
their vision was the way to try to make him.
Okay,
vibranium.
He was only okay.
That's why he was able to be destroyed.
But that's okay. I mean, like, I like the claw thing. That was good. Setting up that for Black Panther,
yeah,
the vibranium.
I just
thought
like, the joking when he was doing it. Like, when he did lose his arm, he was joking about him. When he cut off his
When he
arm.
Cut off the guy's arm, and he's going to become Claw, who's Black Panther, who hunts vibranium. Not hunts vibranium.
I thought some of the other scenes kind of slowed it down, like the Thor stuff.
He's big in sound.
Yeah.
Setting up the next Thor movie, that kind
of... To be honest, I don't know what... I have no memory at all of that Thor scene.
Yeah, that whole Thor scene
I really don't.
Where he went in the water.
Yeah, I have zero memory
of it. Why was Stone Skarsgård in there at all?
His little box.
Yeah.
We don't know what the box even did. Yeah. He just had a little box.
Maybe I drifted off. I don't know. I have no memory of
that. That wasn't important.
Kind of came out of nowhere, and then... It was just like, we need to fill this plot hole, so...
Then Thor was like, I know what's going on.
Have him climb into a lake and remember what's going on. And that's what a lot of people were explaining.
I was walking down this hallway and this ether came out. Yeah. Oh, sorry.
A lot of people were complaining before the movie that weren't us. That were saying that... it was.
That
but,
can't be.
I'm just trying to clarify it wasn't us that were complaining. But they were saying that it was a lot of setup. For another movie.
Yeah,
the movie was a setup for another movie.
That's what I'm saying. I thought that stuff kind of...
Yeah. And it did. Like that for the Infinity Stones. Maybe a Hulk movie because he disappeared.
He's tired of the stones.
They were trying too hard to set up.
But I'd say with the exception of Cap 2, every part 2 was a setup for
another
movie.
That's
another
thing.
How many times have we seen like a tiny little tease of Thanos? And he's not seen menacing at all.
Well, here's the thing. The whole thing about this movie was it had the same exact formula from the first movie. Basically, you know, they all team
up. They come together, they argue, they fall apart, they come back together, defeat the bad guy.
And then they do that thing at the end where they do the camera angle around the whole group while they're fighting.
Instead of
then they all separate.
We
should do that.
Get
a camera right here.
Podcast.
Talking podcast, yeah.
Yeah.
Colin loses control for a little while. Dave has to soothe him.
Podcasters assemble. Podcasters, ah.
What you said about Dave, like doing that Ares thing at the Siege book, you have to show him that. We'll explain it later.
I know Ares gets torn apart.
That's
so
what we're expecting you to do with the podcast. We're like, you don't agree with me, Pat. Pat's done. We're like, Pat, no.
Please.
But and the Thanos thing at the end. That was the same thing. Like, that basically, they didn't give you a new thing at the end of Watch. It was Thanos going, gems or something.
Well, no, said, well, and then I'll the other myself, thing. But that made no sense, because what that essentially says is Thanos was
it,
the
buddy?
One that planted the whole thing for Ultron. Like, he started them down the path.
I agree with that. Now, somebody, I first said, too, that, did Loki do that? But I guess Loki may have was doing it. It didn't seem like it in the movie, but I guess Loki was trying to get a stone as well.
But he had one.
They kind of gave it to him.
But he had the mind gem.
So he gave it. Then he gave it to him. And then he lost it. So he's just like, now I'll get that myself.
Someone had a theory, and I forget where I read it, but essentially that everything that happened was Loki wanted to happen.
Yeah.
He wanted to lose on Earth so he could go back to Asgard because he doesn't want to rule Earth. He wants to rule Asgard. That's his whole thing. So, but if he goes and, you know, just shows up, obviously that's going to cause a problem. But the way he did it, he was able to, you know, go back without drawing anybody's attention, bide his time, an event took place where he was able to get free, and then he was able to take over.
Yeah,
I don't know if I buy that.
Well, but we know that that's where the Infinity Gauntlet came from.
No, yeah. They say there's a second one. That one is still there. That's the right-handed gauntlet. Thanos has the left-handed one. So does that mean there's 10 or 12
stones? I don't think that's asking the right question. Does that mean that Thanos is left-handed? I mean, come on, isn't it?
Does it matter?
I always thought his name is ambidextrous.
Well, the Infinity Gauntlet's on his left hand.
Switch hitter.
The Infinity Gauntlet's on his left hand.
Okay. Oh, yeah, that's true.
So he can use his right hand to throttle.
That's right.
Yeah. I don't know. The movie, though, like, I think what Avengers did to make you excited to go see this movie didn't make me very excited for the future Avenger movie.
I would have been more excited if during the scene when Thanos opened up his little locker, if there was like a power glove there.
It's so...
He's like, it's so bad. It's so bad, yeah.
No, but
do it myself.
But I think the thing is, it's not really even meant to set up what's going to happen for the Infinity War, or whatever they're calling it.
Yeah.
There was a lot of seeds planted for the Civil War movie, which I think that's going to determine really what the makeup of the Avengers is going to be in the new one.
Do you think Civil War is going to be like the same type of Civil War that like we're used to, Cap versus Iron Man?
Well, Civil War is Avengers 3.
But there was already...
It seems like
I thought it's Cap 3.
It is Cap 3, but it's essentially...
It feels like Avengers 3.
Yeah, it feels
okay.
But then again, like the last Cap movie felt like a better Avengers movie than the last one.
I think
one.
Civil War right now has more Avengers in it than Avengers 2 had in it.
Yeah.
As long as it's not about a rock. I'm tired of rocks.
Gonna be
stones.
It's a rock, whatever.
And they're already setting it up with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. talking about indexing.
So if you break open the Tesseract,
yeah,
there's a rock inside of it. That's what they were showing us from that Thor thing. Whatever.
There's rocks inside everything.
Well, but they already got the Avengers Academy.
There's rocks.
Which my guess is will turn into the 50 State Initiative, but it almost seems like Cap's on the wrong side.
Yeah.
If
they go in that direction.
Well, because remember, Cap was anti-registration in the book.
Yeah, I think he still is.
Where here he's, so in Iron Man 2, they had the Senate hearing and all that. That really puts Tony more on the side of anti-registration. Cap is running the Avengers Academy, which would be the precursor to the 50 State Initiative.
Cap said in this one about how. What was the exact line? We were trying to stop a war before it begins.
It doesn't work out well. Yeah,
like Tony Stark was definitely more for trying to prevent threats from occurring.
Yeah.
In this one, and Cap was more like, you can't do that.
Well, you're right. He is kind of going in the direction that he was. Like he was trying to stop things before they happen. And that's kind of what they were doing at the beginning of Iron Man was doing at the beginning of Civil War.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know.
I mean, it was a fun popcorn movie, but under analysis, I don't know if it's...
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't a bad movie. It just...
If you don't
the first 45 minutes, I didn't like. I felt like I was bored almost.
Yeah.
But after that, I mean, I liked the movie.
There were some points when they were fighting the robots in the city where it was like, okay, move on.
Yeah.
I really felt... Because it's like I was telling people here, it was like, how many times can you see Thor smash a robot? It's like, oh, forehand, backhand. Oh, look, Cap did a flip and smashed one down. Yeah. Wow. But I said it was the same problem I had with Iron Man 2, where at the end they were fighting the robots. And it's like, there's just no... You don't care. Oh, look, they blasted that one. Oh, look, they blasted another one. It just, they can keep going like a video game. Boom, boom, boom. I did enjoy how Scarlet Witch's powers are completely undefined and that she now has telepathy and mind warping and can shoot laser beams. So,
because he's fast and she's weird.
Yeah. Well, he dead.
Well, that too.
That line was actually
I'm a little surprised. I'm glad they killed him off. I thought that the Quicksilver that they did in X-Men was much better.
Yeah.
I don't know. I actually liked
it. More Quicksilver.
Fun. Yeah.
Supposedly there's a lot more to it, because I did, hear that... there was supposed to be great animosity between the two. Him
Debbie,
and Hawkeye.
What are you doing here?
What are you giving us?
A guest star.
Ice cream?
What happened? The guest star left.
But
animosity between...
Between Hawkeye and Quicksilver, that's what made him sacrificing himself to save Hawkeye at the end.
Yeah, what he said. Being a big twist. That coming or
right,
something like that. Yeah.
Right, because there had been hatred between the two.
Now, I did like the, you know, Scarlet Witch went around and got everybody, and then when it came to Hawkeye, he, like, slaps her and hits her with an arrow, but it wasn't really an arrow, and said, nah, I've already been mind-controlled, didn't like it much.
Yeah, no, yeah, that was good. There were a lot of good parts, but even, like, when she had mind-controlled them, I felt some of those scenes went on too long, and I was just sitting here going, okay, I know this isn't real. I get a little glimpse
the cat
is fine.
Stuff, I thought, was...
But, yeah, it was going on a little too long. I felt that quite a few times. Like, some of the little romance things between Banner and Natasha... went on, it was just like, okay, this just, it didn't feel right, it never flowed.
Well, that's it. The Cap stuff, it was cool to see, you know, because I liked the Agent Carter, and all, mm-hmm. but that could have been much shorter. I really did like, though, with them delving into what, you know, the beginnings of Black Widow, because we mm-hmm. hadn't seen
yeah.
that before, and that was
yeah.
kind of interesting.
That was okay, and the stuff where Tony saw that he
that
failed
part, though,
all his friends.
Is what got most of the flack, I think. Is her?
Yeah,
her
them saying
origin.
That she's a monster because
yeah.
she'd been.
Yeah, that part was stupid.
Not immunized,
sterilized.
But sterilized.
It was. I mean, it came out of left field, like her saying, "Do you think I'm a monster too?" Like, no.
Me Hulk, we smash. So.
Yeah.
If you told me about,
no,
all,
I don't think you are.
Maybe your stories about all the people you killed, then I would say yes. But
yeah.
just because you can't have kids.
Yeah. Remember the whole Budapest thing?
She was
thing?
Just so. She was just so much more in Iron Man 2 and in Cap 2.
She was a badass.
That she just too. Was didn't show that, and then there was also the whole damsel in distress needing to be saved by mm. Banner.
Yeah.
That did not. Sit well.
It's like they don't know.
No, because
like
even like when she was tied up by the Russians in the first Avengers,
mm-hmm.
she was in control.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And that wasn't what happened there. Now, you know, obviously you can't do the same trick over and over
right.
and over again, but I would have...
I know a lot of people are like, really? The one
yeah.
female character is, you know, has to be the damsel in distress. They couldn't have captured Tony and taken him out of his armor and someone had to rescue him.
Well, they did that in the movie before.
Who would rescue
yeah.
him, though?
True.
Yeah.
True. Okay. So, yeah,
we'd
I mean,
rescue Scarlett Johansson,
kind of a so. Sideways, I guess, a sideways thumb for Avengers 2.
Yeah, that's where it is. I didn't.
Yeah,
I didn't
it wasn't
love
bad,
it.
But I didn't
it.
Think
yeah.
it was great.
It wasn't as good as Cap 2.
Well,
no, it wasn't as good
as
Guardians.
You remember the
no.
scene
no.
where on
Guardians
the,
Cap 2
the helicarrier,
the best.
Where the they had like a new
a lot
character
of pressure
on there,
him.
And he was sitting there at the desk, and they kept playing him up like he was the guy like reading the computers and stuff.
He was the guy from Winter Soldier. Who wouldn't?
Oh, yeah, that's him.
To try to get early.
Got it.
Yeah.
I was like, why are they playing this guy up so
yeah.
much?
Oh, and
hilarious.
Even like the big Hulk, Iron Man Hulkbuster fight, because Hulk was mind controlled, it wasn't like a knockdown dragout fight. You knew Iron Man wasn't trying to hurt
yeah.
him. And I think it lost a lot of its impact from that.
But they even, but you know, like they had the Hulk Loki scene in the first one and the Groot scene in that one.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they had the same thing here where, you know, it was like a rapid punch or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah.
Find something new. You know, I mean, yeah, it was, I laugh. I still laugh when I see the Loki scene. And,
yeah.
I, you know, the first time I saw the Groot scene,
mm-hmm.
and it wasn't so much the smashing, it was his reaction after that,
reaction
the smile,
yeah.
that was great,
yeah.
but it just didn't work this time. And
yeah.
that's...
I also had a problem with the satellite sending replacement parts down and stuff, only in the sense of Hydra would have shut that
Starcraft.
Down.
Yeah.
How is that still going with Hydra still in charge? Only because they'd never shown Hydra no longer in charge. That
well, but
get another disconnect between the two movies.
Well, no, because that could have been a Stark satellite.
Right, but you'd think then they would have.
But
then
they defeat Hydra.
Why?
Like
Stark
disabled
has plenty of satellites, and I mean, you know, they're not
yeah.
going to shoot down
maybe,
satellites.
Maybe, but.
I thought that
just,
was their end, but like that was Hydra's
well,
end.
I kind of kept waiting for them to address that. They never did. And then at the end, a helicarrier shows up. It's like, where the heck did that come? You know,
yeah, I hadn't seen S.H.I.E.L.D. when that happened, so it was kind of like, huh?
But I think you're right. Half, like, sideways thumb.
Yeah.
It wasn't horror. It was a good summer movie. And
yeah,
that's all
it was a good popcorn
was that
movie.
Okay,
are you not entertained?
Yeah. Oh, thank you, Seamus. Okay, we're going to take a short ice cream break, and we'll be back.
Are you
wrestler?
Oh. It was creepier in the middle.
And we're back, and it's creepier in the middle. Thank you, Josh.
True story.
True story. No, Josh is a little freaked out by the Breaking Bad Gus Fring action figure box, which
he
is now staring at him. It's
a
burnt face.
Chicken bucket.
And a chicken bucket, yes. And what was it? What was the name of the?
El Pollo.
Pollo Loco or something?
No,
like
El Pollo Loco is a real place.
Oh, okay.
It's Los
Pollos.
Polos.
Los Pollos. Okay. Sorry, something. I don't remember. Something. That's what I need to rewatch. My wife, for
wonder why his
Christmas for something got me the full box set, so I need to rewatch that.
And like the drum?
No, I did not get the drum version. That was a lot more.
I wonder why his
I just got the
comes
box
like
set.
No.
Because I've learned, I had this discussion on Facebook a little while ago, I have about how I don't watch stuff. Like, I got for my birthday one year, Sandy got me the full Lost DVD Blu-ray set. Still shrink wrap.
You got to really be in the mood to go
back
and watch
exactly.
the whole.
Yeah, so there's a lot of stuff that I have, and I realize you know there's no reason for me to buy a DVD because I'm not going to watch it. I mean, I play them here, but right. I'm not going to sit down and watch seven seasons.
My brother
of the TV
buys
show.
A lot of like TV shows on Blu-ray, and I don't get it. The only one I have is Battlestar Galactica.
Now, to be fair, I think it was one summer. I was getting the CSI DVDs out of the library because I think they had season one. I'm like, you know what? I don't know if I ever actually saw season one. So I brought it home and we were watching. It was just kind of fun because you'd kind of sit there and you're like, another one? Yeah. And
they had an episode.
You know,
I think it was
up,
the first one where somebody was like buried alive. It was a really good episode of that show. But
and then we eventually watched
the whole
all of them.
You still so, watch it?
No.
Are you watching the
no, because
CSI
it's so bad.
Cyber now?
No, it's funny. Matt says that is just awful. You know, as far as even they don't have anybody on the set that knows anything. You know, but the CSI, like we've watched the CSIs. I mean, watch every once in a while, but they're so convoluted and complicated. It's not like you could actually figure it out, which is the fun part of watching the police things is who was the bad guy, who did it, and the CSIs have just gone so off the rails that there's no way you possibly could have figured it out, or.
Or they go the Scooby-Doo
yeah.
route, and it's the first person that they talk to is always the one that ends
well,
up
you have
arrested.
You have that. I remember there was one specifically where it was like, there were four characters and three were dead. And it was kind of like, gosh, I can't imagine who the bad guy is. And then there was another one, I remember this was when it went off the rails. They found somebody in the desert. And when they went to investigate the scene, they found a trap door and it led to a bunker. And the people living in the bunker, the guy's wife had been murdered, and he moved the family down there, and so then they eventually trying to solve that other murder. It was really...
So what does that do with comics?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not.
Waiting for that?
I can tell you how we got there, though. But thank you for bringing that up. So if you stuck through that, we have Pat's News.
Wow.
They didn't stick to it, Pat. Let's go.
No, I'm sure they didn't. So a lot of this is TV related because that's a lot of what was on the news today or this week. But Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. was renewed for a third season.
What? You mean ABC, owned by Disney, renewed a TV show starring Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. owned by Disney?
Well,
I'm shocked.
Well, here's what I heard, though, was last night's episode, which was the season finale, had their lowest ratings ever.
Dun, okay.
Dun, dun. And it was a two-hour episode.
Because
the lips. 9 to...
Yep. No, I'm not trying to be super sarcastic, but I think it would have been a much bigger news had it not been renewed, only because of the lineage.
You're trying to like medium sarcastic?
Yes, medium sarcastic. Only like Constantine not getting renewed at NBC.
Way to steal my thunder.
Well, I'm just saying, so that's not a huge shock. If Flash was canceled at CW...
Supposedly,
that would have been
there
a
might
shock.
Still be some life.
Oh, there's going to be life after what
people,
happened.
Well, okay.
Sorry, we canceled.
Okay, I'm sorry. Continue on.
Wait,
I apologize.
What happened? What do you mean after what happened?
You didn't hear?
No.
Okay, so after the announcement, Stephen Amell went on Twitter and said, "Whoever picks it up, I'll guest star." Well, someone else, like from Vampire Diaries, or some other guy, said, "I'll do that." And then all of a sudden, a very big name said he would do a guest spot on Constantine.
William Shatner.
So I'm like, would CW be dumb not to pick it up to get us, you know, get Shatner on an episode?
Shatner is amazing. He tweets throughout all these CW shows.
Yeah. Shatner does tweet through all these shows. But Shatner's kind of a Twitter troll, though.
Do you ever think maybe Shatner needs something to do?
The opinions of the people on this podcast are not necessarily the opinions of Pittsburgh Comics.
I follow Shatner. I love William Shatner, but sometimes Shatner will, like, latch on to one thing he doesn't agree with,
and really, like, be kind of a dick to someone. Yeah. He is kind of a Twitter troll.
He finds, like, a random person online and harasses them.
He's like E. Colin.
E. Coli, what?
Okay.
But I just thought that was kind of neat. I thought that was neat.
Well, okay, so I'll skip the one I was going to go through, and we'll talk about Constantine. So it was... I'll get back to it.
But we should know tomorrow about Constantine.
That's news is so confusing.
Because CW's doing its upfronts tomorrow.
Right, and that was what I was going to say. So although it's canceled, it may have life left. But the other thing I was going to say is that Agent Carter has also been renewed for a second season. That one was a little more surprising because its ratings weren't good.
But it was infinitely better.
I thought it was a much better series, yeah.
It doesn't require a movie tie-in to be good.
To tell a story. And then from what I heard is she's moving to L.A.
And she's announced to everyone that she's Daredevil.
No, she's Peggy Carter's
sister. She's in fact
wearing
the shirt that says she is not Daredevil.
That's right, yeah, exactly. The Legends of Tomorrow, which I guess is what is originally they called the Atom spinoff, is now called Legends of Tomorrow.
That was jumping all over the place for a long time, what they were going to call that show. It was World's Finest and all sorts of things.
Yeah,
and now it's...
But that's going to go for CW as well.
Rip Hunter assembling a team.
Well, and one of the rumors, and if you saw the preview for next week's Flash... I think it was Joe tells him he has to go back and change time, and it
never ends well.
Right, so it's setting up a flashpoint type thing, and then my guess is, you know, the repercussions of that are kind of what the Legends of Tomorrow.
And
have
this
to deal
is how we get Batman in here, because now we get Thomas Wayne Batman.
Yeah,
Tom Welling is Superman.
Subject One or whatever. Yeah.
What's Tom Welling? We get, like, do you remember the list of movies that they had a while
McLovin.
Back? Was
that would be awesome.
Subject One.
That could work, actually.
It would work.
Legion of Superheroes on there? On that list that they had of, like, all the movies that were coming out? Because Legion's a superhero would be an interesting TV show, because it's something that has all sorts of characters that aren't totally relevant, but it could make a really nice science
There's
fiction
such
like
lame
that.
Characters, though.
Maybe you could do something with that TV.
I shouldn't say that, but I feel like
it's not about Matter Eater Lad.
I know, but they took Arrow and they gave him all of Batman's villains, so, I mean... Well, he didn't have very much going on. I mean, there's some books that, like, he was good, but it's not like Arrow's, like, that popular of a character.
But Arrow has been, like, there have been, maybe overall, Arrow's not, wasn't anything special, but Arrow has been featured, like, prominently in some bigger books.
Yeah.
You know, like, even Dark Knight Returns and whatnot. I mean.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's been portrayed as a, like, darker series.
Yeah, he was in Dark Knight Returns, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was.
Was he blind?
No, he was missing an arm.
I
thought he was blind.
Hawkeye was.
I thought they were both blind.
Wolverine. That's why I was wondering if they both made him for their future incarnations.
I know he was missing an arm. I don't remember him being blind.
Yeah, I think Pat's right. I think all he was missing an arm.
What did miss this?
On the next Pat's News. Sounds so dramatic.
So... apparently, the Joker and Mr. Freeze are going to appear in Gotham next year in season
God
2.
God damn it.
Okay. Mr. Freeze, I'm okay with, but Joker, I agree. God
this show.
Damn it.
I am so sick of this show. This is my least favorite. I know you guys like it.
They start messing
with
Batman.
I hate this freaking show so much.
Yeah. Well, it's one of those behind on it because like there's
so
certain
potential.
Points to it. The beginning, like I really didn't like the beginning.
It,
of the
it,
show.
Is, it just has to decide: is it going to be the Jim Gordon show? And if it is, concentrate on make it a GCPD show.
That's
what
it's supposed to be.
Make it Law and Order Gotham.
We shouldn't
be
seeing
okay.
it. A lot of Batman fans even know that. Like we shouldn't be seeing a bunch of these characters so
like,
early on in the game.
These
like, they
writers
should be
just
more,
cannot help themselves.
I wish it was more like he was going after mafias, like he was at the beginning, or something like that. Maybe a few serial killers, like throwing a. Few
like
that
some
are
of the
just
more
starting to seep through into
like
the
some of the more you know grounded villains.
Yeah, like Zaz. I have
Zaz, 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 Zaz
good.
Zaz worked out. Penguin is fine.
I actually
Riddler.
Didn't mind.
Riddler?
I didn't mind Scarecrow, and the reason I didn't mind Scarecrow is because they gave him like an origin where he was beginning. Like his dad wasn't necessarily like the Scarecrow, but
he created the freak
that could have turned out
to. And that also puts the timeline right for where they are, because that's the problem that I have is. If you introduce all these characters, unless they do a time jump, you either make them you know, it's, much older than what Batman would be, or, you know, they're psychopaths from a time they're children.
Yeah.
Well, they kind of got a head, and they got a head jump on making Batman at the very last scene.
I think they need a time jump to show.
That would be the best way to handle it.
I think
this.
They do, too. Because
I don't think they're going to do it.
I don't either.
It's just going to continue on this road of mediocrity.
And I think, you know, as I said before, like, they're going to have to hope that this kid starts.
And I don't even want
like
the time jump.
Lane.
Like, I didn't want to
see... That could actually be Batman.
I didn't need to see a Batman television
no,
show.
No, they jumped the gun.
I already saw it. It's called Arrow.
Yeah.
They've jumped the gun since the beginning of the show, though, like because even Bruce was starting to act like, you know, whatever he was.
We have these
like
superhero shows. This show could have been something different by doing a GCPD thing. And it just
it didn't do
would
that.
Would you have liked it better if it was just, you know, it takes place with, you know, with the regular age Batman, but they never showed him.
Yeah. No, I don't mind that they have him. I think they also
Wayne running.
But make it more like a Gotham Central show.
I think they overdo it. With
all the villains are who they are.
But the problem with that is you don't expect GCPD to deal with the Joker. He's not going to, you know, they're not going to deal with Killer Croc. That's not what they do. You know, they deal with the mob. They deal with those things. Because those types...
But if not
the
them,
super, well, no, as we said, if they're doing it as Batman is already established, but we just don't see him, like he's there, we know he's there, but we don't see him.
Yeah.
That's the problem, is then you can't bring in his rogues gallery because GCPD wouldn't be dealing with him. He would.
Yeah.
And you don't want a situation where, you know, you have, you know, Batman's off dealing with the Riddler and you got a bunch of guys in, you know, Riddler domino masks running around and that's who GCPD is dealing with. That wouldn't work.
I feel like we've seen more big-name villains on Gotham without even a Batman being there than we have on Flash. Where he's actually Flash and doing stuff.
Yeah. It just...
And it's still... And Flash
works. I think for the first season of the show, they've jumped too much. Like, they've added too much to the future of what we see.
I heard an interesting comment on another podcast where they think the writers had the first half, the first 13 episodes done, and they didn't expect there to be more this season. And all of a sudden, I don't know that they didn't know it was going to get picked up or something, but just all of a sudden... They've really kind of been scrambling at the end here.
Yeah, figuring out
knowing,
how to do it.
Right, not knowing what they should be doing. You know, because you had that weird storyline with Barbara where it doesn't make sense.
Well, and that's... yeah, I mean, it seems to me then that that's not the Barbara that he marries. That has to be someone else because...
Possibly.
I mean, she's going to be spending some time in Arkham.
Yeah.
And that just, you know, it depends on how they do it. That could make sense if they want to bring in James Jr. and to explain away, in, you know, years in the future, kind of explain away, you know, where his mental issues come from. And again, that's where I think the time jump would work well for this show, because you can always flash back and, you know, something that happens then kind of relates to something that happened years ago. You know, similar to the way Arrow does it. You can do that without really stretching anything, and then you can bring in the Batman villains without having, you know, Catwoman can be Catwoman as a kid because, you know, she's a street kid, that's just how she grew up.
That fits.
But, you know, you don't want, and the Joker's a bad,
they shouldn't do that
because I don't want to know what the Joker was like as a kid. He's scary when you don't know who he is.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people miss that point with the Joker. It's because a lot of these people aren't necessarily the Batman fans that we are.
And you can also see the TV executives going, okay, when you get in the Joker, because
that's
big
who
one.
We want. Yeah.
And they don't understand, like, it shouldn't be.
No.
It shouldn't be there, and it makes a better story, but that's not what they're looking for.
Which
they're
makes
looking
me
for a shock
realize more and more
episodes.
That CW must be a very, like, do-whatever-you-want network, because... I don't feel like their shows have really... Well, maybe Arrow has. So I don't feel like their shows
well,
have
Well, less
really tried
Laurel,
to
and then the next ones go more Laurel. And...
Yeah. So anyway, moving on. Yeah. And then Supergirl was picked up for...
Full season.
For a full season.
And just today.
We got
and
the
today
trailer.
They
a six-minute trailer.
6-minute trailer, yeah. Which I mean, I'll watch. I'll check it out. But
I'll see.
I was not... on the edge of my seat, like, oh my god, this is gonna be the best.
I will say though, I wasn't as excited for iZombie for that same reason.
No, I like it. That's true. No, I like that it's something different. I like that it's doing a different take than the other shows. Because right now we have a ton of superhero shows on TV, and I think that's the other issue I have with Gotham is I don't want to see the time jump because I don't want it to become just like Arrow.
Yeah.
I want it to be a different take on this comic book show. And I feel like Supergirl is going to be that different take. And Supergirl is giving, for all the people that said Man of Steel was too dark and gloomy and
it definitely
and not fun,
has the opposite.
This
of
has
that, yeah.
the fun, bright colors, you know.
Yeah, it look definitely to it. Looks more.
The only issue I have right now out of the gate is Jimmy Olsen still. Why call him Jimmy Olsen? He's not Jimmy Olsen.
You know what? I don't know what they were thinking.
I'm not talking about the fact
that
he's a black
actor. To do with
but he's an older black actor.
It's not only
that,
but Jimmy Olsen, you have to understand.
I just think he's too...
He's not a little nerdy, little, you know, kind of... Yeah, he's very... He could be Superman of... the Earth 2 Superman.
Yeah.
You know, he's a big, bulkier guy. And it has nothing to do with him being black. That's fine. I mean,
we all know about
Will Smith
that.
Is Jimmy Olsen.
It has a lot to do with the fact that it's just not the personality of the character.
Yeah.
And I think that's what they need to do. Who knows, though? You know, we've seen drastic changes of the characters, though. People like it, but...
Yeah, but he's supposed to be Superman.
As long as I don't
pal.
Mess with my comic books, that's the problem. They start bringing that in.
James Olsen.
Oh, great. So you mean now in Superman he's going to be... No.
He's going to be...
and then... Josh, I'll let either you or Dave take this about Archie Comics, because you guys read about
this. Well, there's one more show thing. So, there was the talk of that spinoff from S.H.I.E.L.D. that focused on Mockingbird
and Hunter.
And Hunter.
Which I heard was dead, and
but
then
now
I read some today, it might not be.
For a little bit, yeah.
The problem I have with that, and I think I've said this before on the podcast, is why would you take the two most interesting characters off the show to give them a spinoff when...
Unless maybe they were still going to be on S.H.I.E.L.D., but their show would have been Missions.
So it would be Agents of Real S.H.I.E.L.D.?
Yeah.
Which characters were?
Hunter and Mockingbird. Who, you know...
Barbara.
They could move her into the movie world
Bobby.
Without a problem.
They call her Barbara.
I know, although, I didn't understand that.
Bobby's short for Barbara, didn't you know that?
I thought it was short for Roberto.
Yeah.
Roberto Clemente.
Who names
your
daughter Roberto? I don't know.
Sure lots of people. Named...
Pat, you need to get control of your nose.
Yeah, apparently so.
Yeah,
you've lost total control of Pat's
News. Oh, I lost total control of Pat's News when you named it Pat's News.
Yeah, that's true.
So, okay, then on CSI.
Exactly. So, okay.
And
so,
Will Smith will be Miles Morales.
What?
All right. Do you want to do Archie, or do you want me to do Archie?
Well, I'll do it. Archie.
That sounded weird. News.
Somebody's got to do Archie.
No, Archie is fine. Some publicity.
Do it.
A lot of talk and criticism of starting. They started a Kickstarter to fund three new series, which are Jughead.
Yeah.
By Chip Zdarsky, Betty and Veronica by Adam Hughes, and Kevin Keller by Dan Parent. Who's
I guess, how much are they trying
the
to get
creator?
There?
$350,000.
It can't cost that much money
but
to pay those artists and creators and printing.
Archie
Comics,
so
that's what I don't get.
You mentioned them going into Walmart.
Sabrina was
well,
like,
yeah, part of it, one of the things they said is...
This sounds like it's to raise money. To accomplish that,
yeah.
And not to put out.
But
the series,
you know what?
That's where the criticism is coming from.
Yeah, you know, there's ways to do that, and it's called. You're a public corporation. You sell stock to raise money.
Well, they might not be. They might be a
privately held
privately
company.
Held,
well, if
yeah.
it's a privately
matter.
Held
it's
company,
still,
then they need
right.
to take out loans and
right.
raise
no,
money.
No. They were able to take a chance on a book called Afterlife with Archie that
right.
they never thought would do well. Yet they can't take a chance on these books.
My problem with it as a retailer, no, not as a person, not that I'm not a person, but
you
as on the retailer side
you're
of
a corporate, you're a corporate citizen.
My problem with it as someone who spends a lot of money on Archie product is they got us to go in on Afterlife with Archie and left us hanging. They got us to go in on Sabrina you know, got me to order 300 copies of Sabrina and left me hanging for 6 months.
Yeah.
So they're already kind of, on your left. I don't have a ton of faith in you guys right now. I want to like it. You have something people want, but you won't give it to me. Archie number
give
one.
Give it to Colin, baby.
Who's going to do Archie?
Archie's going to give it to Colin.
Archie number one they came out with. I ordered 6 times what I normally order of Archie for Archie number one, only because they had 22 covers, and I ordered one of each cover.
Oh, my God.
Okay. So then it becomes a case of, okay, now we have these other things going, but we're going to sell them direct to your customers first. You can get a special one if you do the Kickstarter. So maybe it's beneficial to you to spend the $10 on Kickstarter and get that special comic. Or yeah, they're going to put them in Walmart and Target, who aren't exactly the small business's best friend.
No.
My problem is, okay, so you were asking me to support you with these launches of these new products to make my non-cancelable order for this product, where once I place the order, that's guaranteed money to you. And yet, all of a sudden, now you're trying to circumvent me selling direct to, you know,
your competition.
Archie has a very small and core audience. It's not broad, and they're trying to get it broader, and I get that.
Yeah.
But when all of a sudden you start going to my core audience and saying, hey, here, you want something special? You can't get this at the comic book store. I have a problem with that.
I want something special.
Yeah. So, and now
Archie's going to give you something special.
Now, I'm not like, I mean, it's funny that the two people Rich Johnson picked are, you know, two of the most vocal and outspoken guys out there. But, you know, and they're like, fine, Archie is now subs only in my store. You know, you can't spit on me and expect me to, you know, support you on the back end. And
right.
They're coming off very, oh, that's not what we meant, blah, blah, blah. But like you're saying, $350,000, you don't need that much to launch.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know what Marvel and DC spend, but I doubt they spend that much money on 10 books for creator fees. So,
and from what other creators are saying, Archie doesn't pay a lot to the creators.
So I don't, this all this money is for something else. And like they say, there was different people in charge. Like Mark Waid was going, you don't know their finances. I get it, but...
But that's just, I understand how corporate finances work, and if you want to raise money, there's ways to do it. And when especially when a privately held company is going on Kickstarter to beg people for money, and that I just have a problem with. I'm a little surprised, though, that Walmart would carry a Kevin Keller book.
Well, they might not carry that one. Who knows? And then they're saying now it's only for the digests and stuff like that. I'm like, it doesn't cost you $350,000 to get into grocery stores, and they've been doing that for years.
Yeah.
And I find it very interesting that this was Jim Solikowski, who used to work at Marvel and then, I guess, got fired at Marvel, went to work at Archie, and he just went to DC, taking over for Bob Wayne and for direct sales.
Okay.
It's just interesting that right after he leaves, all of a sudden they're trying to get into Walmart and Target. It just, it's weird,
but that's...
and you have to wonder if they're doing it wrong. With him not there. I don't know, but it just, yeah, a customer asked me how I felt about it. I said, well, I'm not, certainly not going to boycott them. I don't order a ton of their stuff. I mean, normally it's 3 Archies. So it's not...
And Dave, that's...
I'm not going to buy a Sabrina for 6 months.
Yeah. So, well, yeah, that's okay. There won't be a Sabrina for 6 months.
What are the... what is, like, the idea behind the books? Like, are they, like,
it's just
modernized?
New number one.
Yeah,
it's
new Riverdale.
Like, okay,
yeah.
So it's a...
To
it's
go
not
along
like
with
the
new,
old Archie.
No, to go with the new Archie number one by Mark Waid and Fiona Staples.
But are they going to have digests with the all new? Because the digests are normally, you know, a ton of pages.
Yeah.
People buy digests, though, like, anywhere anymore?
I have one pre-order. I used to, but then they'd stack up and take up a lot of space.
I wonder how well... I mean, they still sell them at grocery stores, it seems like, so...
But you have to remember, grocery stores can send back what doesn't sell. And that's my big fear for them. If they're spending all this money to get into Walmart and Target, and then all of a sudden they get the returns, they're going to be even worse shape. Because you hear that all the time, where the returns are really killing the distributors... And the publishers...
well, how does that... They don't have to go through Diamond to do that, do they?
No.
They go direct through
the
publisher.
Yeah, they would go direct. So.
Huh.
Weird. I'm not giving them any money.
Yeah, it's just... And it's an awkward thing just where it kind of comes out, and now they're kind of backpedaling, trying to explain themselves. And it's like, you know, I support Archie. I support, you know, all the publishers. Well, most of the publishers. I can't say I support them all. not Marvel, but I mean, that's, I'm not saying I don't support Marvel.
Why'd you look at me?
Because I mean,
he was waiting for your comment.
You know, there's some where just their offerings just don't work.
They all gang up on you equally.
Fair enough. You do.
It's a misuse of Kickstarter.
Yeah.
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 I don't
yeah.
know.
Also, because I mean, Kickstarter is for that small guy trying to get something out there. Archie has no business. You know, the guy trying to make the board game,
yeah.
and he needs $10,000 for the production costs.
Right.
You know, and here, you'll get a game, you know, for your $50 or whatever, where this is just... And from what I understand, the Kickstarter levels are kind of a little
wacky. They're
you know,
wacky.
I haven't looked at it. I'm looking it up on my phone right now.
$10
Where's my
to
Kickstarter
get...
app?
Yeah, where is that?
I must have deleted
it. I think it's like $10 to get just an issue. Like a copy of the issue. So you're paying over twice the cover cost to get a special Kickstarter one?
Well, I gotta imagine.
That's a load of crap.
You know, if it's an Archie book, that's probably three times the cover price.
Yeah, because it's probably a $3 book. Well, how much is Afterlife? Isn't
I think it's $2.99.
Three or four.
Oh, was it? Okay, I thought it was $2.99, but.
Well, yeah, it's three or four.
Oh, who knows?
You don't have it in your. Backed projects tab?
Archie, no.
Check that out. That's an awesome cosplay.
What's the cosplay of?
It's Skeletor.
So.
Do you even watch. I think we already talked about this. Do any of you guys watch The Americans?
No.
No.
I used to watch it, but I stopped watching.
There's the one guy on this season, Frank Langley.
Oh, yeah, yeah. He played Skeletor in the movie.
The Universe movie. I actually kind of like that movie.
No, $10 gets you a download.
A download?
A download.
Just a download?
No, another 10 one gets you a physical copy. Romeo, is that a different book or new Archie? Oh, no, that's a sneak peek special.
You'll get an old Archie.
You'll get a digest that was returned from the grocery store.
Yeah, that's right. Okay.
For $15, Archie will follow you on Twitter.
And then what if they don't
shut
do it?
Up?
Not wow. really. How does Kickstarter work in that? What if they don't do their project? Do they have to return all the money back to the people?
Oh, I want to say something really rude right now.
For $1,000, Jughead will come have hamburgers with you.
Oh. Well, you can't say you.
And you can get them all.
Archie will come here. Somebody has to do Archie.
Where's the Betty and Veronica room?
I know.
For $100,000, you can get a special visit from Betty and Veronica.
Okay, I'm not so worried about these now.
Why?
Just
they're ridiculous.
We're not really getting Betty and Veronica.
Oh, for $80,
you're getting somebody named Betty.
You can
and
get
Veronica.
all 21 Archie number ones, plus the regular cover. So that's 22 issues you can get for $80.
Some guy named Betty Veronica
signed for $100.
That's okay, but
not
yeah, that's not bad considering.
Inflated.
Yeah.
That's kind of their sweet
Holy
spot
cow.
Level.
$750, the Archie Comics retailer package.
Well, that's up your alley.
You receive 10 copies of the Archie number 1 Kickstarter exclusive variant cover.
Do it.
And we'll run a full-page advertisement for your store in one all of our monthly titles for 1 month. That's kind of cool.
Do it.
That's not bad.
I know.
$750 for a full-page ad, but what would I need a full I mean... If you were a bigger store or a chain store,
why would you not
advertise the podcast?
There we go.
Yeah.
We can do the circle shot of us.
Yes.
Do a panorama.
For $2,000, you can see where the magic is made.
Oh, see, somebody
Archie's
had to do it.
That's what it says. That's what it says.
Somebody had to do Archie.
That's what it says.
That's what it says.
Get the chance to come to the Archie offices.
When's Betty
see, I bet
Archie's
I could do that anyway, but...
Well, are we?
Well, no, baller. Because no, Jeez. No. But I know President Mike Pellerito.
Yeah, but hopefully he doesn't listen to the podcast. He doesn't.
Know I hope. Well, he's retweeted me before. So
I was looking at the. He had a card, but it's the cover of Archie versus Predator, and like, you have Predator up there, but then you have Reggie like behind a shrub, and he's like, and he's looking at Veronica, and I'm like, who's the Predator? It's Reggie.
Yeah.
For $7,500, you can appear as a zombie in our Afterlife with Archie.
Reggie's such a creeper.
Reggie is a creeper.
For $10,000,
he had a really like
cover,
you know
Archie
what
creeper
line in it's, Afterlife with Archie last week.
I didn't get a read during Afterlife.
They're talking about I won't.
I don't want to spoil for you. I don't mind spoiling for you. We're going to talk about it anyways. So they're talking about what they should let someone stay in the group or not.
Uh-huh.
And he's like, we should let her stay because we may have to populate.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah,
Richie's in grief. He's upset because Betty and Veronica don't like him equally. You always think Veronica's going to end up with Reggie.
Yeah. Well, she dated him for a while, didn't she?
Well, they seem
But that's still her silver medal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're always after Archie. Because somebody's going to do Archie.
He has something we want.
Adam is lonely.
Just won't give it to us.
We can use that all the time.
Okay, that's it for news.
That's it for news.
This is a long news thing.
You
have no
comic
news?
You need to get control of your
news. Okay, and that's a podcast.
Podcast. Oh, yeah, we'll see you next week. News. See you guys.
Wow.
Hey.
Well, you got to kind of figure DC doesn't have, you know, they have the all-new number ones and everything coming in June.
Yeah.
They've already announced all that. Marvel's in the full swing of Secret Wars, and they really can't say much right now.
Because they don't know.
The Holograms had a trailer.
I didn't see that.
I've heard good
and bad things. Yeah. So
I've heard bad things.
Okay, so we'll talk about comical books, and we'll cut it down a little because some people were, people here were complaining we talked too long about comics.
You complained that we talk
too long.
We're
going to have to vote somebody off the podcast. Not like Reggie.
Can we vote?
Yeah.
No.
Do you want to vote it off?
Yeah, I know. We'll do it anonymously. No.
Colin's like, me.
The guy who smells like brisket. And then battle right.
You know what?
I forgot about that. Since you as the listener have heard us talk about Colin and his love of brisket, I went up to Firehouse Subs today to pick up.
Hey, can you give me a Diet Coke?
To pick up
now he's drinking
sandwiches for us for dinner, and Colin placed the order, and I go to the register and I say order for Colin, and I pay and everything, and the guy's like, all right, have a good night, Colin. And I don't want to correct him. I just say, okay, thanks, and walk out. And as I'm walking out, I hear the other guy who's making the sandwich say, that's not Colin. And the guy's like, what? Goes, that's not Colin. Colin orders all the time, but we never see him. We have no idea who he is. He always sends different people up to get his sandwiches, and it's always brisket. He's ordering all the time
now. It's so good.
So they're talking about Colin like he's some legendary, mysterious figure who has this... you know, army of people to go get his brisket for him.
And you
him.
Already know who he is, so you're just like, no.
You guys are making way too much out of this.
There's no mystery here.
No, he's just a guy.
He just can't leave
brisket.
The store, so he sends who's ever near to go get his food.
He's a man in his mid-50s.
Stop it.
With a bad knee.
Now, come on. He has to be at least in his mid-60s.
He's like Charlie's Angels.
You're Charlie. We're the Angels.
Colin's Angels going to get him food. I'll take that.
I wish I didn't tell this story now.
Yeah, there you go. Which one are you? Kate?
I don't remember.
Farrah?
I'm Lucy Liu.
I'm surprised you remember any of them. Let's go back to that. Why Lucy Liu? you jumped on that pretty quick.
It was the first thing that popped in my head.
First thing that pops in my head is Lucy Liu.
See, I went to the 70s, that's when I was, in my formative years.
I was trying to think of Bill Murray's character. But I couldn't think of his name.
Bosley.
Okay. I guess we should talk about, I don't want to say the elephant in the room, but the big book last week was...
Convergence.
Secret Wars number one.
Oh, yeah.
We had a party. Like Archie?
It was a lunch party. We had a lunch party.
By the way, more people should have showed up for that party.
Yeah, I agree.
See, that's one of those things where... people say, oh, why don't you have a party? Well, because it was us.
Because no one shows up, yeah.
And it's, why don't I go get artists and have people come in? Because when I do, nobody shows up. I had the Puppet Master guys in.
Well.
And it was probably the slowest Saturday, definitely the slowest Saturday of the year, but probably the slowest Saturday of the last 12 months. And it was just one of those.
They don't publicize it very well.
Now, granted, it was the same weekend as the toy show and everything, but it was just kind of one of those.
Was it like awkwardly slow?
Absolutely. I mean, it was like hour between customer slow. Like, hey, guys.
Wow.
Yeah. Okay.
did they say anything about
it? Not really. But I think they it was
no, because I already got his
awkward. So
his money for his 300 copies.
Now, granted, I know if it was a much bigger name,
there was
and had more time to promote it and everything, yeah. It probably would have been better. But you know, and it's Puppet Master. No offense, but it's Puppet Master. You know, not a huge demographic coming.
Yeah, you got to be like a child of the 80s to.
I mean,
yeah,
get a decent turnout whenever you had like. Buccioletto and
Guys, yeah, no, that was good, but it makes it hard to say yes. I'm going to go out and spend $2,000 to get this artist in because you have to pay them, you have to put them up, you have to fly them out, and everything. And then you know if the response is tepid, and you also hear horror stories about that of artists coming in and having things like that. Where I know that's why Sean Murphy doesn't do store things anymore because he had too many of those, especially before Punk Rock Jesus and everything when he wasn't real well known.
Okay. Where he went in and just no one showed up.
Yeah, and nobody was there. And it's like, you know, that can't make them feel good either. So it's one of those, you know, I'm not, if it falls in my lap, I'll happily do it. But I'm not really going to go out and try to.
It needs to help
make
you
something.
In some way so you can pay back what you.
Well, I mean, because.
Well, so we know it's only going to be a DC artist because.
But
it's just, I was surprised last week at the party because there were people that were here.
They didn't even want to.
That, like, I thought were here.
Yeah,
for the party
and then they left. They're like, nope, see ya. It was like,
yeah.
Okay. We took a lot of pizza home.
It's not like you ordered a ton of pizza. You ordered four pizzas.
Maybe people were hiding at half of it.
Yeah, that was the thing. I was like,
half of it was left over, and we all had.
And we weren't the audience for the book.
We weren't hungry. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it sold great. I'm almost out of number one. I think I have like 6 or 7 left out of 100. Number two, it's a little skewed. Only it looks
well,
like I'm out.
Today.
Well, no, it looks like I'm out, but I had 25 damaged copies. So those replacements are coming. So I'm down. But still, I definitely think I'm going to end up selling out of number one.
Do you think maybe they didn't stick around because they were upset that three of the worlds were classified still?
No. But they were unclassified today. No, it just, I don't know.
I
but
think it's the type
it's
of
like,
that.
That's why I'm not going to go out and get
maybe
a cake.
We didn't smash them.
We didn't smash pizzas.
We didn't, but nobody was here to smash them.
I
see?
Think
if
we
there
were.
If there,
what a win.
I thought I was important around here.
You were going to be here whether or not we smash pizzas.
But we were supposed
that's
to
just
smash
that.
Crew.
We're going to be here no matter what, so you should take care of us and smash some damn pizzas.
This is abuse.
I think this type
I think
of
that's going a little strong. It's not abuse. Neglect, maybe.
Yeah. Fine, lawyer up. Fine.
I think this kind of type of event, like this type of thing, doesn't work very good, anyways, because all these people come at different times to get something.
Yeah, you're not going to have
so
the party
all day. So they're
not going
to all of a sudden show where it was going to show up that Wednesday at 12 o'clock, anyway. So if they could get it at 12 o'clock and the launch party wasn't until later, none of them are going to stay for
lunch
that
party.
Anyways. So yeah,
I would have had a better turnout.
Maybe. Yeah.
I get a big lunch rush.
Yeah, because I know when
South
I worked
Point,
at South Point,
road.
Yeah, that's what I would do is I would come down at lunchtime when I worked up there, but.
But, like, something like the midnight release for New 52 when the Justice League came out, you had a pretty good turnout for that.
Yes.
Because
that was
early.
That
was
huge. But there was
so
much build-up.
Earlier.
It was the last issue of Flashpoint and
the
first Justice League. So that was a big
one. So you at least had something.
You guys weren't here,
though.
That was those came out. We then all read them and then did a podcast about them.
Yeah. Because some people did the whole shebang.
Yeah.
Because you had that ability as well.
It's back when the shebang was good.
It's not that the shebang isn't good.
No, Colin's shebang deal is fine. It's the quality of the shebang that's not good.
It's not
shebang. Not
I don't
shebang.
Think the thing
Look,
is horrible.
Shebangs are kind of like pizza. Even a bad shebang is still better than no shebang.
Well, let's talk about Secret Wars first. Before
yes.
We
oh, is that what we were talking about?
I
Secret.
I was talking about. I think Pat was getting a little racy, though.
I do too. He's talking about banging. Mm-hmm. Well, there was banging in this book.
Yeah.
Earths smashing together.
That was awful.
That was awesome. When he said there's banging, I'm like, what book did I read?
There was banging.
I was
in
missing
all.
That page.
Well, there's your podcast Earths. Title. There was banging in this book.
No, I already got it. Somebody's got to do Archie. That's the title of the podcast.
Somebody's got to do Archie.
It was said way too much. Thank you. Sorry.
Damn it.
Sorry. I mean, nothing will ever top. I know how to work a poll, sir. That is still the greatest title in the history of podcasts.
Quoted Josh.
It was. Josh. It was totally.
Although, what was the one with Aquaman and his thing?
His fins with benefits.
That's pretty good. It was very good. There was a lot going on. Yeah. My only concern is the beginning and ending sequence with Doom was very confusing.
Yes.
What I did is last night I took home. I had already read Avengers 44, which wrapped everything up, which was very confusing. But I also took home New Avengers 33 and read that. And that was the whole Doom thing. And good Lord, that was Hickman trying to be Morrison. And just you're reading it just going, what? But you'll understand a little bit more when you read number two. But basically, in New Avengers 33...
If you're reading New Avengers.
New Avengers 33 sets Doom up as a god. He is ascended from the plane. He's no longer a human. He is now a god. So...
Okay, and I thought that's what they were hinting at.
Yeah.
But it didn't make sense.
He was able to create himself into, like, a god by doing all of the things that happened in New Avengers.
Yeah, it was very, very... trippy and weird. And I'm just reading it because I'm going, what? It's like you're trying so hard to be Morrison. So you'll see more in two, but in the first one, so you had that beginning ending sequence with Doom that didn't make a whole lot of sense when you were reading it. It was very interesting. My only problem with it was most events you should be able to understand just reading the event. Now, I will grant you, Convergence is confusing if you don't know the Earth 2 characters, especially early on. And it has been confusing, like, if you don't know who... Well, I don't think you need to know who the bad guy is, other than he was a warlord bad guy, and he's a bad guy who has magic powers. I think that's really all you need to know. I don't think there's anything above and beyond to him. But in Secret Wars, it's like... If you didn't understand what all Ultimate Reed Richards was about, those parts really didn't make a whole lot of sense. You know, that was a little confusing.
Yeah, and that's what I was going to say. There was a couple problems with that. So if you're not reading the Ultimate stuff, a lot of that it was confusing. And and sometimes even, okay, who is that character and all that? If you hadn't been reading the Avengers stuff, I think that was kind of a problem, too. So, like, I stopped reading Avengers right after Infinity.
So did I. I think a lot of people did.
25, whenever they first started talking about
a lot of people did that.
Earth's...
Well, no, they've been talking about the inversion since, I think, issue one.
But, like, right in the mid-20s is when they really started to talk about how they had to blow up and...
Talked about a lot in New Avengers.
Yeah, I wasn't reading
New Avengers. Yeah, that was more the New Avengers.
And Avengers was all about, like, some sort of, like...
I was just
like
reading Avengers.
I thought it was the New Avengers where they were talking about using the Infinity Gems in order to destroy the Earth.
But when it got to mid-20s on regular Avengers, they started talking about the other Earth and having to... They were emerging
I think one of my issues with this book was I liked it. I liked the art. I thought the art was really nice. But as you were saying with the Avengers books that I haven't been reading them, when the point happened where Thanos was on the Ultimate Universe, I thought that was like supposed to be an Ultimate Thanos. I had no idea, and without any explanation. Yeah. And this is my problem. My biggest problem is
That's where the free comic book day should have done.
My biggest problem with this entire book so far is the free comic book day issue, because they had the ability to put it out there for a bunch of new readers to understand what this big event was going to do, and they failed completely. Yeah. They brought out some story about Valeria, and she was just blah, blah, blah about a spaceship.
Well, it was about the Wrath.
And I get it. And that was explained in the book. We understood it. It wasn't like a hard concept to figure out that they built, like, an ark to take them away.
Yeah.
I mean, it just, that made
sense.
But
then you had the Attack on Titan thing.
That didn't even need to be in the book.
Yeah.
But I think they failed at reaching audiences where that's their biggest problem, and they don't see it. Like, when they do an event, it's hard for new people to jump on the event. You have a new person coming in because they're doing this huge Secret War thing, and it's this huge Marvel thing. It'll change the Marvel universe. It's supposed to change it forever, really, this time. And
they even said, you know, they
it's a new thing. It's a good jump in. Hopefully, it's a good jump in on point. And they
what, are they going to come out with no number ones when this is all over?
That would be a reboot. Hope. They can't do that.
I was having a talk with somebody. We were just kind of laughing that the it's funny that the highest numbered book for
Marvel
44.
Nope.
Book made it to 45. Guess what book?
Jimmy John.
That's Deadpool.
Tacos.
Oh, yeah.
Deadpool was their highest numbered book. Wow. And it still makes me laugh when you look at the front of any Marvel comic. It has three digits for the issue number. I'm like, I'm going to say until there's a new regime in charge, no Marvel book will ever hit triple digits.
I think that's...
Naturally. Not like the last Deadpool issue was 250.
Right.
And, you know, Fantastic Four ended in the 600s, and we're about to get Uncanny X-Men 600.
I think that...
They are too dependent on number ones.
This book and how this new world, whatever they're creating, turns
it's
out.
A battle world.
I think it's going to depend on if certain people stay running Marvel.
I don't think any of them are in danger.
Mm-mm. You don't think?
No.
Mm-mm. No.
No, as long as Marvel and
are they selling? Like, are they?
Yeah.
I got to assume Marvel Studios.
Month after month, Marvel's still top of the. Market share.
I don't get it.
As long as Marvel's turning a profit, Disney has no inclination to do anything except for just let the money
roll.
That's
the part that boggles my mind is Marvel does really well. So I feel like, is it just us? Are we a bunch of grumpy?
I don't think.
You know what? No, because my brother-in-law was here.
Because it's not that. It's I love the Marvel characters. It's just I think the stories are lackluster. And it's really in comparison, because you know, even 2 years ago, I was reading predominantly Marvel and not so much DC. And then as I started to read more DC, I was like, these stories are actually being told better. And I started branching out more into the DC. And it was, you know, just the stories were boring me. I love the characters, but not what was being told.
I just hate their how they do things. Like, for example, Secret Wars Zero was... Pre-comic day. Then last week was number one. Then today's number two. But it's not a weekly book. The next one comes out June 3rd. And after that, July. It's like...
No, then June 17th, then July 1st.
Then it's bi-weekly.
But then we don't know.
But then after that, we don't know. My brother-in-law was in and got Secret Wars 1. And he's
no family members.
He's kind of all over the place. But like he still reads Hulk and Punisher. But those are his main Marvel books. But he used to be a huge Marvel guy, and he texted me after. He's like, what the hell was that? He's like, and I'm a hardcore Marvel guy who I've slowly gotten into DC only because, like, he liked Arrow, so I got him reading Green Arrow, and he really likes that. He made a snarky comment about, you know, DC doesn't have anybody like Punisher. And I said, I had fun with him. I said, you ever read Jonah Hex? He's like, no. Gave him Jonah Hex. Boom. Big fan of that. So just, you know, here's a guy who was hardcore Marvel, and he's like, what is this? Yeah. You know, just...
I feel like it's lacking on... I've always...
Because it
just lacks on structure.
I mean, the art was beautiful. It was full of exciting stuff, but when you're seeing, you know, Black Widow die, you're kind of going...
Who cares?
Or was it... Or Spider-Woman, or whoever was piloting the one ship that got blown up. You're just kind of going, okay.
They're in the ship together.
Yeah, but you're like, okay, they're not dead.
Yeah.
You know?
Sue Storm.
Yeah.
And the kids.
Yeah, well, that I kind of assumed. So, like, I think that's going to be like they're separated in two different areas, and they're going to tell more.
Even, you know, the last week the Punisher issue came out. Punisher's in L.A. He gets stabbed and is presumably bleeding out with a coyote on his lap, laying on stairs, and, you know, the skull. And, you know, end of the story. And then you... go to the next book, Secret Wars, and he's back in New York.
There's going to be some more Punisher books that are going to lead up, because you have your Final Days books coming.
Right, well,
so it might finish up that story.
But then, you know, somehow in the same week, he's in New York, you know, saying, I can't take it with me, I got lots of bullets, what do I do with them?
Right.
In a bar full of bad guys.
But that might be how the next few issues lead to. It could be.
We've had this argument before on the podcast.
I have another question.
Yeah.
Where did the Kingpin come from? He's been gone for years.
He just came back. Yeah, just for that.
Wasn't he just in the recent issue of Daredevil?
Yeah, he showed up in the last
one. Oh, was he? Okay.
Daredevil.
But that was San Francisco.
And he was in Superior
Spider-Man.
He was
shopping,
too.
Yeah. I think all of the superheroes in San Francisco.
I don't remember him being in.
Yeah, he was in Superior.
Hmm.
So I think the idea between everything was very similar with Convergence and Secret Wars, but I think it's taking a very different turn.
That's when they kicked him out.
I can't wait till you guys read two so we can talk better about this next week so you can see where the turn...
Yeah. And then that's when he shows up as
But that wasn't too long ago. That was
not too long ago. That was the disappearance right there.
Yeah.
But yeah, the argument of time in Marvel Comics... when does this take place, when this happened and that, is very...
Normally, I'd say it doesn't matter, but in this particular event where you're saying this is the end, when the two Earths collide, that should be it. No more stories, except for on this battle world or whatever we do.
Unless you're Silk or Spider-Gwen or Hawkeye.
Which, Bucky Barnes.
You can make arguments that like some of those, they're taking place in the future after all this is done. Except Silk was taking place in time as Spider-Man. And...
Yeah.
The thing is, and I feel like this is how events for Marvel have been for me reading them, is that they start off first issue really well. Then throughout the middle, they start to lose it. And they start to pick up a little bit.
Right, but they always run like two issues. And then at the end issue,
they're just like, what just happened?
I mean, I hope I read today's and enjoy it, because I did... really enjoyed number
one. I thought it was
very engaging.
I'm not that, like, depending on what these issues, this is the thing. They set up this whole event, or all these issues of different worlds that are happening on this without us totally understanding what Secret Wars was. So midway throughout the book, we might understand more about these worlds and maybe come and pick them up, but we're not going to sign up for them early on.
That's what doesn't help them. I have almost no interest in these.
I don't. And maybe I could develop interest through, you know, how long, maybe the middle of Secret Wars. But by that, it's too late for him because he can't put in his orders for the interest that was developed.
Well, he can because only two books, you know, the first two books come out.
Yeah.
And then all the other books come out next month.
Yeah. So they were getting a couple next week. Oh, I forgot to grab the invoice.
So, I mean, we'll see about that. Like, the only ones that I thought I might be interested in are, one is the Ultimate Universe, because I kind of started reading a lot of comics in the Ultimate runs, the beginnings of Ultimates. And then, you know, as I've given up on them recently, but I said, I'm going to pick that up because, you know, that seems important. That's one of the worlds that's kind of coming to an end. And the other one is the main book. And that was about it. And then I'm going to pick up the Spider-Man. book because it's supposed to. It's
which one? Spider Verse?
The Dance Lot one.
I won't pick up that
one. The Spider Verse one, it doesn't seem relevant. I don't think it's going to be. I don't think it's. This story is about these characters.
I'm not picking up Renew Your Vows, especially after the most recent.
I'm on the fence about Amazing Spider-Man.
It may tie in, but I just don't care anymore.
That's the whole thing. That book needs a writer change.
Dan Slott is not a bad writer.
No.
But Dan Slott has been on Spider-Man too long.
Exactly.
He is out of interesting ideas to tell.
You have to switch writers.
Who do you guys want to see write him?
You? Anyway, I mean...
I don't know, but you know what? A creative team right now that I'd like to see... I want to see what's his name? Gage.
No way.
No, I want to see Gage off of Spider-Man.
I never been to see him on.
Give me time. Who I really liked recently is Stegman. I like Stegman on Spider-Man. I think he has a pretty good...
Is he who's writing the point
issues, the spiral?
The spiral? No, that's Gary Conway. Oh, yeah. He's an original.
No, Stegman's the artist.
I didn't realize it.
No.
A lot of people are saying those are better. That's a more interesting spiral.
I haven't been reading it.
I read the first one. I liked it a lot.
Stegman's art has been alternating with Gage.
Like no, Gage is the writer.
Yeah.
Huh?
Christos Gage is the writer.
Who am I thinking of that did art on...
Ramos?
That's it. Ramos. I'm not a big fan of Ramos. He works on certain things, but I just... They overuse him on Spider-Man.
Has Gage been running the...
That's right. Christos Gage is on...
backups?
The
Black Hat backups?
Yeah, I think he has. But it...
And he wrote the annuals, too, I think.
But the whole thing about it is just he's done. Like, he's just not... He can write something else, but his stuff is also getting too weird because I think he's trying to write Doctor Who still. He's trying to do it through every possible way he can. It's time to switch. You know, he's done. And I hope we see that after this event is over, that maybe we'll see some creative
changes.
I mean, Bendis has to go from X-Men. It's just not selling X-Men.
Who does Marvel have that might be
Hickman can't write Avengers.
Spider-Man. Jason Aaron?
Yeah, I could see that.
Because I could see him giving the same feel as like the Wolverine Southern X-Men. Bastards.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
Southern Bastards version of Spider-Man, yeah. That could be pretty good.
If he could do that goats, look, right? If they would just let the writers write, though, and I think that's a lot, they're telling their writers a lot that, well, we have to do some things like this because, you know, this is what they're telling us from the top to put in. You know, that kind of crap I get tired of, but yeah, they need some changes in that, which I don't think they're going to, yeah. But
So I definitely won't be reading that one. I might read the Captain Marvel one just because I've been reading Captain Marvel, and it's still Kelly Sue.
The Carol Corps.
Yeah, the title Carol sounds Corpse. Weird, but it's the same writer, and I've been enjoying Captain Marvel.
Oh, another Marvel, three Marvel zombie books?
Yeah. Why not 20?
Like you and I were talking earlier, we both like Planet Hulk and Old Man Logan, but I don't necessarily want to read a Bendis version of Old Man. But I'm torn because I don't want to read Bendis's story, but I want to see Sorrentino's art. So, I don't know.
So just erase all the words?
Can I get the preview? Just the, without the lettering?
Just look at the pretty pictures. Yeah. That's nobody said you had to read the words.
Yeah.
That's our take on...
Can't stop myself.
Secret Wars.
Yeah.
We didn't mind it.
Slightly up thumb.
Yeah, it's like...
For a $5 book, you got a lot of story.
Yeah, you got a lot out of it.
No, number one was a good book.
Yeah. Pick up number one. I can't say much about two. We haven't
I'll give it.
Colin
one.
Hated it.
I'll give it a thumbs
I did
up.
Not he hate hated. It. I did not hate it. No, he, I did not hate it at all.
And then he carved Marvel's name into the table. It's crazy. It's scary.
And his forehead.
And brisket. Carved brisket into the table.
Moving on.
What sucks?
Batman Earth Whoa. 1, Volume 2. Did anybody else read that?
Sold out. Got 10 copies back in today. I ordered 15 to start
with. I didn't buy
gone
it.
Gone on Wednesday.
It was good.
I want to buy it. I just will wait until I don't have 20-some books a week.
Which one is this?
Batman Earth 1.
I only got 2 more weeks of Convergence.
Did you...
But then you have all the DCs.
It was. Yeah. You know, I liked it better than the first one.
I don't know if I'll buy all of them.
Yeah, you will.
There were parts of it I liked better.
They explained... They gave you more to look forward to, like the detective
yes.
part. Like
yeah.
they with him like asking Gordon
to teach him.
Can you teach me how to be a detective?
Yeah.
It's just like, okay, that's where that's coming from. And then the suit, like he's been arguing with him about doing a better suit. You
yeah,
know, you need some
armor,
you need
yep.
something. There was something else in there. I liked Croc.
Yeah, that was it was
that
a
is
different
my favorite
take.
Type of Croc.
Yeah. yeah.
They've been doing it a little bit more in they did it in Eternal where he's
yeah,
not so
say,
bad.
Yeah, yeah, where he
and
was
I
taking
like
care
like
of the
that.
Shore people.
I don't like him being just a monster.
No, and that's... What was it? Was it the Long Halloween where Batman sends him food on Thanksgiving or whatever?
Yeah.
It kind of reminded
was
me...
Was it him or was it... I don't think it was Croc. I think it was Solomon Grundy.
Maybe that's
because he was on the Thanksgiving one where he's sitting at the end of the table.
Okay.
And
for some reason I thought it was
on the other
for some reason I thought it was Croc where he you know he did that.
I don't think, but I'll have to recheck it.
Yeah, it's been a long time since I read it. But I like that
because I remember that was a point like the Solomon Grundy poem was in that, so mm-hmm. He could have been. I'll have to say
the fact that it's not going to be Harvey Dent, but his sister is Two-Face.
That was
pretty cool.
That was interesting because like she. When he's doused with the Molotov cocktail.
Yeah.
And she hugs him while his face is still steaming. And it somehow like,
it transfers
up
it, yeah.
But not only that, her other side of the face is Harvey.
Yeah.
And then his is, I was like, that's a different take on that. Like, that side of the face is Harvey. Because that's how Harvey was.
For the previous.
And this, he was a little more impulsive. He was a little more angry. Of a Harvey Dent.
Yeah.
So he was the other face anyways, and they made him twins, which we should have seen while we were reading it, that there's two of them anyways.
Yeah.
His obsession with two throughout it, he still had that obsession. I don't know. Did they have the coin?
I know. I don't remember seeing the coin.
Yeah, I don't
know. The take on the Riddler was very different.
Yeah, very
he
different.
He was, Riddler. You know, and as opposed to the kind of collected, calm.
Yeah.
You know, this was... He almost looked like a homeless dude.
Yeah, he was very different with the question mark on his eye
yeah.
and the very different Riddler and what he was doing. I like I like, he was interesting through coming through all the, like, the intercoms and stuff like that, and who mm-hmm. he was going after, and it tied together as the main, with the main story of what she was looking for, Dent, the, yeah. the Mayor Dent, and then what the Riddler was doing was, you know, not to give too much away, but it was good. It was a really interesting take on just very changed, and that's what these books are supposed to be, you know?
Yeah,
I find it interesting though that the formula of these Earth One books are give the bad guy who we're used to a sibling, because they did that with Lex Luthor, the Luthors.
Yeah,
and they did that with Harvey Dent.
Well, no, that was his wife.
Oh yeah, that's right. But still, they give like a second, like another person. That's
but that's what's kind of good about it is it gives you a different. You know, you don't know what's coming until you really read it. But and then obviously they've used some of that stuff. The Alfred on Gotham is very reminiscent of what you see as the Earth One. You know, and I would imagine that Jeremy Irons in Batman versus Superman is gonna, because they got a younger guy, not, you know, the older frail Alfred.
Yeah.
They got a middle aged guy who would, it would make sense he was SAS or something.
Yeah, so
like
he's
that.
He's getting up there.
He's like in his 60s, I think.
Right, but maybe I mean, he's not, yeah, like yeah. The not guy that played him.
Michael not like from the Michael older. Keaton.
Yeah, like that Michael guy, Keaton. or even in you know, Batman 66.
Was older. Yeah, Batman 66.
Well, but even
I don't think we could take a lot from that 66.
No, but if you
can't remember Alfred from that show,
he was really old.
I think they had a couple cast members for that, didn't they?
No, I think it was the same Alfred throughout. But even like even the Michael Caine though, when he talks about how he was in the British Army.
Yeah.
So it kind of takes that he's not the frail. I'm just a butler.
He also has that relationship training. With Bruce of this like combined partnership that they have. That they always have in the books, they have that like subtle, you know, he's trying to help him, he's trying to protect him, but he's protecting him in a different way.
Yeah.
That he's wanting to, he's just like, well, if you don't have armor, if you don't kill them, they're going to come back after you, you know?
Yeah.
That kind of thing. It's just like, that's a different Alfred. It was good. I actually, truthfully, I wasn't too fond of the first book. I think I was looking too much of it into it of, this is the Batman I know, this is how it should be,
okay.
And that's from Frank Miller, but this was good.
No.
It really was good. I'm sure there's other things, I just can't think of everything.
Yeah, I
don't want to give too much away, but it's really worth picking up.
Yeah, every one of these, more of them, he's got like 10 of them over here.
Yeah.
Every one of these Earth One books has been
good. Surprisingly
Superman.
Good.
I thought Superman has been really good.
Yeah.
I didn't read the last Superman, but I'm waiting for the trade of that.
See, that's the one I've heard the most mixed things about.
Superman?
Mm-hmm.
I've liked it. I think it's the same thing. I think it's just a different, real different take, but almost the same kind of thing.
Like, I'm not a Superman guy, but I really liked it because it is, it's different. It's not the Boy Scout Superman. It's, you know, you see him more as a human. It's almost like you see him as he's coming into his own and you see the mistakes he makes and, you know, he realizes that he's not perfect.
I kind of look at him like this is if the DC writers and stuff like that, if they had the ability to make the movie, this is what the movie would be. Like, that kind of feel.
Yeah, I could
like
see
that. Like, not without all the movie executives and stuff, this is what it would be. And frankly, I kind of like it. You know,
yeah.
I'd like that movie. I can see, you know, they do. They feel like movies, also because it's a full story, but they kind of take a more real approach to it. Batman has weaknesses. You can see his weaknesses while watching him. It's not just about a character who can do anything, you know?
Well, but and the other nice thing,
Superman has the weaknesses in this.
Yeah. Well, and the nice thing is, it's you're seeing these guys kind of from the beginning when they're first taking up being a hero, so they're learning on the job.
Yeah.
And it's watching them fail was good.
Yeah.
So
it was fun.
Yeah.
What's next?
I don't know. Who's got something? Dead Drop.
I liked it.
I did too. Like I said, the only problem I had with it, basically, it was...
It's a very fast, like, chase.
Yeah, very. Run. It's Exo Man of War is all of a sudden tasked with stopping this person who has stolen
something. Virus. Then you get some background that it's this alien virus that somehow became sentient.
Mm-hmm.
And
this person somehow has it. You don't know why they have it or who they are, and he's chasing them through New York trying to acquire it back. And it's all very fast-paced, and it's a pretty quick read, actually.
Yeah. My only problem with it was Exo Man of War is chasing this girl, and he's, like, running after her the whole time, and she keeps getting away from him. And I'm like, and I asked Joshua, I'm like, can't he fly? And he said, yeah, but maybe just...
Well, because it's through the city, maybe it was... If he was flying, it'd be too hard to keep track of
it. Just, yeah.
But there are parts where, like, he gets stopped by some cops, and you think he could just quickly, like, fly up and get past them instead of trying to, like, encounter them at all. But otherwise, I mean, it was... I thought it was a pretty good entry for first issue for this miniseries. It's Alish Kott. I think it's his first Valiant book. So, yeah. I'm on board for the rest of them.
Yeah, the art was decent.
It was good art. But no, it was fun. There wasn't a whole lot to it, but it was a fun book.
Another one I read, had a little fun with it. Run, Love, Kill, number one from Image. That was a couple weeks ago, actually. Neat book. Basically, the idea is this girl is trying to get out of this town. They've built a wall around the city that's just about finished, and the city is basically run by, like, a corporation. Okay. And it seems like a corrupt corporation, and they're like, you know, we're doing this to protect you. Or she's of the attitude, no, what they're really doing is they're doing this to imprison everyone. And so she's trying to get out. And that's basically the story. But what I tweeted was, I said, love the book, but I thought it was the worst cover for portraying what was inside. And the inside, the art
is... Even worse than the Joker and Batgirl?
Well, no, but different. This, the cover, well, it's over there on the top, it's a very 3D rendering and video game type image.
Okay.
Where the inside is, I forget the name of the artist, but it's very much like Fabio Moon and Gabriel Ba. Mm-hmm. Very...
Almost looks like it was carved it. From stone.
No!
Like
that kind of...
Oh, so it's like...
I'm talking about the cover, but...
Oh, okay, I was just saying... You're talking about, like, the kind of books Connell looked at when he was a kid?
So, on the cover...
Oh, wow.
I'm like, where are you going with that? It's very much a 3D rendered, and I thought it was a video game book based on that cover.
Okay, yeah.
It looks like
When you get inside, this is the art, which is beautiful. I think the art is fantastic, but it does not at all match what's on the cover.
Like a clay statue or something.
Yeah. That's why I said a 3D model, thing. And so I just tweeted that, and the writer responded back to me, like, you know, harsh. And I'm like, no. I said, I'm having a big problem with covers as it is right now. Just not doing a job selling the book. And the creators have forgotten that. DC does a pretty good job of that, where the cover image generally portrays something that's going on in the book, but enough to make you inquisitive. Like, they're, you know, cover of Superman, Convergence Superman... shows Clark in a pregnant Lois Lane. Okay, you know, that's something you're going to look at and go, what? You know, give a second take.
Yeah. Hurley throwing carrots at Captain Carrot.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's ridiculous.
Yeah. You need to have that value, like, when you're looking at something that sells from your vision of selling that on the shelf. And it goes for any type of advertising. And frankly, the cover of the book is your advertising when it's in the store.
But then, like, Injection came out this week. And up close, that's a really interesting cover. Mm-hmm. But at a distance, Pat, how does that cover look?
Looks like a white cover to me.
Yeah, it's a completely white cover with very light purple.
That is their variant cover, though.
Yeah, but the black cover doesn't really do it to
cover B. It is cover B. But still, this isn't a, eye-catching, you know.
Yeah, I get what you're saying.
That's all.
The black one doesn't have, it's not an eye-catching either.
Not
it's
no, but it doesn't look... Wait, I mean, I like this cover better than the black and green one.
He's saying that there's a lot of covers out there that are very
good. Oh, I know what he's saying.
But yeah, it was funny because I thought the book was great.
Yeah, I couldn't even see that there was an eye in it from a distance.
But I'm just saying this cover didn't help sell this book for me. But I thought the story itself was really good.
Harsh, Colin.
It was harsh.
Why do you say you're harsh? Didn't you say the story was good and stuff?
I did. But I said it was the worst cover I've seen. As far
ever.
Relation to what was inside.
Why is Emperor Palpatine in this?
Because he's bad.
That's Doom without his mask.
Okay, Dave, you got one. Like, we're just kind of going around.
Goo.
Afterlife of Archie.
Okay, didn't get a chance to read that.
Number eight.
That
it was pretty damn good.
Yeah, it was good. That was
the
Was it a Shining theme?
It was very Shining.
Okay, because both covers had Shining themes
too. Very much so.
Yeah. Yeah, very Shining.
It was really good. I don't know if you'd say worth the wait. I mean, it was a long time, but it was really good.
No, I'd have to see way more with Betty and Veronica for two worth the wait.
If you like status really quo good. Changes.
The group is in this, the Bradbury. They're in Vermont in this hotel. And
but they're not all the same mind.
They're not all the same mind. Archie's having a conversation with a ghost Jughead. I don't know if he's... If it's a real
Wait,
ghost.
When did Jughead die?
I don't know if it's a real ghost or if Archie's just losing his mind.
Well, it's the Shining. It's, you know, he's there, you know, talking to the bartender.
Yeah.
Who's just not there.
With the sketch.
Yeah. And we get a cool backstory for Riverdale.
Yeah, I like that a lot.
Yeah.
During the war, when the kids were coming home dead, the parents made a pact with the witches of Greendale to have no harm ever come to the people of Riverdale anymore, and in return they get like three kids from three generations
mm-hmm. of those main families
of the Andrews, the Jones and
the main family, and Veronica's family.
In Lodges?
No, I thought it was Cherry's family.
That would have been interesting.
The Blossoms.
Yeah, the Blossoms.
Okay. No, because the Lodges would have been... they moved to Riverdale, so they didn't exist.
That's
right.
And what do you think the big secret was that was told to all the women just about her and her brother?
Oh, yeah, I'm thinking her and her brother went all Scarlet Witch Quicksilver, and that was...
You think those two were banging? Scarlet Witch and Quicksilver in the movie?
No, but in the Ultimates they were.
Well, I think.
That's right. Yeah.
But the movie.
I think in the movie they were too.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't think so.
They play with that a little too much.
It's a deleted
plus
scene.
The. I totally watch that. That's.
You don't endorse what's going on here. Okay.
Dude, Elizabeth Olsen's hot.
You want to watch her and her brother?
It's not really her brother.
It's kick ass.
Right, but that was also her husband in Godzilla.
Yeah.
Oh, she was in Godzilla.
Yeah, she was. Yeah, and that's why it was a little...
His dad sold meth, though.
That's true.
All right.
What was Ra's al Ghul doing there?
Yeah. That.
Move along.
Okay.
Why are you yelling at Dave?
chop, Dave.
Yeah, no,
move it, Dave.
Right. You're getting cold.
The book is so good. I just...
It was really good. I just love it. It was really good.
Yeah, it just wasn't worth a six-month wait or whatever it was.
Now, I wonder when the last one...
Oh, it's been a while.
It's been that long.
Yeah.
Okay. I've had them.
Took me a second.
But anyways...
Can you talk about the Hulk?
Yes.
Last issue of the
Hulk.
We'll
allow you to talk about the Hulk. Here, get David Blaine.
This is the last issue of the Hulk before the worlds collided last week. This issue is basically a conversation between Doc Green and She-Hulk. And... Doc Green gives She-Hulk some kind of medicine, a vial to use against him because he, after all, everything he's been through for the past, 14 previous issues, he's afraid even though the extremist is wearing off on his brain, he has this other kind of extremist he wants to put in, and he's afraid that might turn him into the Maestro from Future Imperfect, so he wants to have a fail-safe.
But no, that was the last issue of Hulk.
I know.
So that's weird. That was the last issue. Like, the big Thor reveal in 8, that's the last issue of Thor. So
no more Hulk. No more Doc Green.
That's okay.
I like
He'll
how they
live on
label
in Planet
him
Hulk.
And Secret Wars
as
Doc Green.
Yeah. He had
so is the Doc Green has the Mohawk?
Yeah, he has the Mohawk, yeah.
Any reason for the Mohawk?
Because he pities the fool and don't...
He's got gold chains.
Mr.
T is the Hulk.
There was a reason in the book. They showed him...
That's a television Hulk.
Shaving his head.
It's like an A-Team Avengers, because it's A-Team.
Yeah, A4.
Don't give me any of that jibber-jabber.
So he meets Betty Ross at the end, too, so he makes up with Betty. And
wasn't she dead for a while?
Ugh.
And then I don't know where she came back, because Thunderbolt Ross created like some sort of like mutant like bird thing that he called there was a name for it, and he used it to like as a monster to attack, like that was his revenge over her dying, and he blamed the Hulk, so he created some sort of weird genetic monster that like flew. It was in there for a while, not that long ago, probably about 10 years ago.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I don't remember that.
I think I remember him from that Red Hulk run when we were trying to figure out who the Red Hulk was. They were in that. But anything else, Dave?
Descender. Anybody read Descender? That was good. Number 3.
I like that quite a bit.
Yeah, it was very good. And then in the previous issue, the Tim 21, the robot, the little boy robot, was almost fatally damaged by these scavenger guys who showed up on the mining colony moon, and
Driller came to his rescue.
He's kind of like, I don't know if he's dreaming or he's going into the afterlife, and meets all the robots who were purged, part of this purge when they got rid of all the robots in this world, this universe. And his creator, Dr. Kwan, and are traveling to this colony, and they find him and save him, and Tim tells them about the dream, and he says, I didn't make robots.
Yeah, he's having this dream where he's seeing all the harvested robots, and telling him to save them, and it was a good book.
I mean, yeah, it was excellent, and just all the way around. By
that statement, could have been better prepared.
Sorry, I was. You're right. I have notes.
He does the art, Josh.
Good book.
In that book.
Like Dust in the Wind. Did you set?
I'm setting you up.
Good job.
That's all we are.
Dust in the Wind.
Art's excellent. Just kind of. Very watercolory and everything. It just fits the book. So I think that's all I had.
I've seen that on.
Oh, have you?
Yeah, that's hilarious. That's.
No.
We haven't talked about Convergence, like just the main book, right?
No,
we haven't talked.
This was the better of them all. It kind of reveals more of what's his name, Deimos. Deimos's evil plan of time. You notice that they show you Brainiac in a ball.
Yeah,
and it says
not
the
a
T
ball.
On it.
Yeah,
it's T-sphere. So it's
yeah.
The T. I'm getting there, Jumpy. The T sphere.
I didn't realize it was a T sphere.
And that's
T-sphere.
What. Well,
yeah.
If you think, what happened to him at Future's End?
Yeah,
he was put into the T sphere.
Yeah.
I didn't even realize
So that's
that.
The Future's End tie-in that everybody was wondering about last week. They were just like, when's this going to tie in the
These
Future's
tie-ins
End?
Are too...
It's kind of obscure, but yes.
That's where it kind of ties. That's where it ties into Brainiac, because that's the only time we've
there
seen
There are 44
that
issues. I deserve a better tie-in than a T-sphere.
But that's where he is. And then,
if I had a mohawk, it'd be a Mr. T-sphere, and it'd have been okay.
Warlord is killed and turned to dust. And everybody just escaped from there. That was it. But it's not a great explanation.
Yeah. I like number 4
good
better
issue,
than number 5, I think.
Yeah.
I feel like number 4,
four
was pretty good. And
5 wasn't bad. Yeah.
Sorry.
There was one thing. My biggest problem with Convergence has been continuity-wise that they're not really they're not staying very consistent with everything that's going on. One thing, and this is it's a fairly small thing, but what's his name? Jay Garrick is running around, and he says something about throwing somebody into the Speed Force. He has no idea what the Speed Force is. They never mentioned that in Earth 2. It's not even a thing. Now, we're Flash, he knows the Speed Force, right?
Yeah.
Yes, he didn't. So it's these things that just keep appearing, but they're adding up. That's my problem, is, you know, like you were saying with the Bat symbol changing with that, Just people, random people talking. It just hasn't been great. So it's been okay, but it's what it is.
Spoil it for me now, Jesus. Splash Two Worlds.
It's exactly what you should be getting out of this, because I get they made this thing to deal with the move, and I think it's doing that, and then we'll jump back to it. But it's
all wavy.
It's okay. It's not a great event.
It's not a bad event, though.
It's not a bad event, though, either. This case, I've liked the tie-ins, though, a lot better, where a lot of people haven't liked the tie-ins.
Here's what my problem with Convergence, and this is a minor issue. I'm having a really hard time keeping up with all the reading.
It's a lot.
It's a lot.
It's a lot for something that...
Well, for the tie-ins.
Yeah.
Do you have to read the tie-ins?
No. I don't think you do.
No, you
disjointed. I think my biggest problem with Convergence is I feel like Dana Dio lied to me.
He lied to you personally.
Like, I don't know. Dana Dio came out this big thing about how Convergence really matters. The more I read Convergence, the more I'm thinking, this doesn't matter at all.
No, he did play that up a lot. In that
it's either not going to matter at all, or if it does matter, then I'm kind of scared.
Like, I wish he would have just said, we're moving for 2 months. Have some fun.
He says it's going to change things, though.
It matters to him.
I wish comic book creators would just shut up about the changing of things. Sometimes it hardly changes anything at all.
Tell me a story, then afterwards be like, wasn't that cool? Everything's going to change now.
That's right. It's going to change in a flash. It's going to change like this and that. This is going to be the final crisis, but then there's been how many crises afterwards? It's okay for what it is, but I don't want to talk about like each of them. I don't really want to review all of them because they really did.
I want to talk about the previews in them, though.
My main problem with these, why I don't want to review them, because it has kind of the same thing where they didn't really end.
I'm gonna hold each one up, and you just say good or bad.
You're gonna hold up.
I'm gonna hold each one up. I'm gonna say the name, and you just say good or bad. Okay. That's it.
Good or bad.
Do it.
Good or bad. Both of you. Thumbs up or thumbs down.
Got it.
Okay.
Is Colin involved too?
Okay.
I'll jump in on the ones I read.
Okay. You didn't read any of them?
I didn't read
them. Or I'll jump in too. All right. The Atom.
I didn't read it.
Bizarre.
I just put that in the middle.
I get it bad.
It was just okay.
It was too weird. They're fighting Gorn from Star Trek.
I checked it over. It wasn't.
What about the preview?
Oh, yeah, the preview part. Sorry.
Come on, man. Do I have to do everything for
you? That was a Green Lantern preview.
Nothing. Green Lantern.
Yeah, interesting.
I actually like
Green Lantern preview quite a bit. You got to see kind of where Hal's at, but still that he's
still a cop.
I want to know more about his mission. I want to know what he's out there to do.
Yeah.
Because clearly there's some...
reason why he took that
weapon.
He's
not just taking the heat off the rest of Green Lanterns. He's doing something.
Yeah.
It was good.
I didn't actually want to read too many of the previews.
Why?
Well, because
I didn't read all of them.
The comic book is only like this thick.
Well, no, these aren't like the first 8 pages. Yeah. These are all new.
This isn't going to be in the book.
Yeah, man.
This will not be in the first issue.
I was worried that it was going to spoil the issue, and I'd be like, why don't we read it?
No, this is some of it set up for.
All right. Batgirl.
Thumbs up.
I didn't like the first one.
I liked it.
I liked it, too. I kind of like the interaction with Catman and
the
ending.
It might be better, but yeah, I didn't get to that one.
All right, for the preview, what was it?
That one was Prez. That one I didn't read.
Surprisingly, I had zero interest in Prez. I actually liked this preview quite a bit. It had me intrigued.
We'll allow this, Josh.
I will buy the number one.
Cool.
Put me down for it.
Right now.
Remind me later.
No.
It's not going to matter. He's not going to do it.
Batman and Robin. Thumbs down.
Yeah. That one was just kind of eh.
I enjoyed the first one. Like the one I gave a slightly thumbs down to.
Yeah.
I didn't like the art, and I'm not really that... I don't usually critique art that much.
The Omega Men.
Now, that was very interesting.
You didn't see a whole lot.
No.
Every panel was just looking the same.
There was enough there to make you go...
I am pretty much on board for where the story is going to go. Like, I'm curious.
Yeah. I agree. I had zero interest in that one.
Harley Quinn.
Did not read it.
Thumbs up.
Yeah.
It was.
I liked the first one, but I haven't.
It was a lot of fun.
That's what it was. It was
a lot of fun.
They made a lot of jokes on it about the Elmer Fudd, Bugs Bunny kind of dynamic, and that's really what it was. Mm-hmm. And it read like it should have been a Looney Tunes.
The thing is, it made me miss how Harley Quinn used to be, because it's not the same Harley Quinn at all.
No,
we're getting now. So, and I like that old Harley Quinn.
Section 8.
know.
Preview. Any of you guys read it?
No, I didn't read it.
I did not like this at all.
Okay. Well, that's a miniseries from Garth Ennis spinning out of Hitman.
It was really weird. I just maybe because I'm not familiar with Hitman. But
I think that one's got a very niche audience.
I didn't like it whatsoever.
I liked this one.
Justice League.
Somebody told me it should have been called Justice League Lifetime. That's what I was just Facebook messaging.
That's very sexist.
And that Iron Man should have, or Aquaman should have had a dirty wife beater.
Okay.
So you liked it, Adam?
I thought it was good, yeah.
I liked it, Pat.
Yeah, I thought it was pretty good.
I thought it had a better conclusion.
I did like how they ended that one.
This, we'll get to it, Superman had that kind of same kind of formula to it, where somebody, they go and collect their partner who was supposedly dead in the Flashpoint world.
Mm-hmm.
And then they, I thought that ended on a better note.
Something big happens.
Or not a better note for Aquaman, but a better note. Like it cool felt like a better
finality. Yeah.
A new title.
Everything. All
and maybe it's because there was an antagonist in this that was a bigger bad. Where Super, what was his, Subject, what is his name? One?
Subject One.
Where Subject One didn't seem like he was a bad guy. He was just kinda,
lonely.
Yeah.
He messed her. And in this, he was crazy.
He's a bad guy, but he's not a bad guy.
Yeah.
that was good though.
Detective Comics preview.
I really liked that.
Man,
but
crazy.
Like that I think it was the last panel. I was like, what?
Yeah.
Did you read that? Yeah. There was a say what moment in it.
Yeah.
It was,
okay, I'm not gonna show you, but you should read it.
I will.
Yeah.
You too. If you haven't read it yet.
I've read it. Yeah.
You read it? What'd you think of the preview?
I like it.
Yeah.
I like that book anyways. I think that's a really good book.
I love it. I think they're a great team. And
it hasn't been for a long time.
And I would really like...
a lot better.
I said it before, I'll say it again. Whenever Snyder and Capullo leave Batman, I think those two could take over.
When you said that before, I kind of disagreed, but I agree. You know right now. I do. No, I really do, because after reading that issue and... Mm-hmm. It just works.
They're an awesome team.
They've done a good job.
All right, moving on. Nightwing Oracle.
That didn't read.
It was okay.
I hate those.
I liked it quite a bit.
The Argus cover.
I liked it quite a bit. Okay. It was very satisfying. It may be a bit too satisfying.
Yeah.
If possible. Like,
I think things are
a bit convenient. But it was all around a good story for Nightwing and Oracle.
This was one of my
The inclusion of the canary was kind of...
That I didn't read.
Different.
Yeah.
Because it almost seemed like they were trying to turn it into a Birds of Prey thing, but they didn't.
But they needed to have something there to have them stand a chance against Hawkman.
No, right, I understand.
So that was fine.
Yeah.
So the preview for Midnighter.
I didn't read that.
I didn't read it either, but here's the thing about like this character. They've really been trying to bring at least some characters from Wildstorm into... this, and like he seems to be okay, Grayson.
Yeah, characters from Wildstorm, and this is a character that really helps him.
Because not even Grifter did a good,
you know, have the diversity within their line. I personally did not love this preview. I don't think it was bad. I just don't think it was for me. But I hope it does well, though.
Does it feel like the Grayson kind of feel to it?
That's where I think I didn't like it so much. I felt like Midnighter in this preview did not feel like Midnighter from Grayson to me.
Okay. So that's a problem. Because
but that's
he's still in Grayson.
It's an 8-page preview. This Midnighter seems definitely more like lighthearted than the one from Grayson, I guess. But we'll see. Alright, The Question.
I liked it.
That was really good.
I liked this a lot.
Yeah.
Did you read it? No?
All right. I read the first one. I didn't read that one. I had
one main question about this book. What happened to other Harvey Dent? Did he just, he like got teleported?
I think because essentially he won.
So he...
His team...
I thought
he
Wayne
moved on to the second
killing
round.
Your opponent.
That's what I thought too, but...
He didn't wink. He shot...
Yeah, nobody died. Yeah. Unless that was his opponent, and nobody told us.
Yeah, he shot
it seemed
Montoya.
Like Harvey Dent invented his own opponent. Like he
shot Montoya, and then he got teleported away.
It was almost like he was trying to do suicide by cop, except for suicide by
maybe
Harvey
he did,
Dent.
Maybe he did it wrong, so Talos was just like, you're wrong, Dent.
Get over here.
Get over here.
But it was good. It was a really good book. A lot of... For only having two issues, these two issues did a lot of good like characterization for these...
Yeah.
The players in this. I liked the Montoya interaction with her dad and
how that tied up.
Where was the other Harvey Dent from?
You know, and when I read that, I almost thought that maybe that's what they're going to do.
I feel like it was Flashpoint
with Barbara in.
They might not have done that
in Gotham.
They did. Yeah, it's on the other one, but one of them was Flashpoint. The other one was the Western World, and then the other
one was Western.
It had to have been Flashpoint.
Yeah.
All right, Starfire preview.
I like that.
It looks interesting.
Had a definite Harley Quinn, feel, which same writers.
They are toning her character down though a little bit, just like the.
But they even joke. But they even joked about.
They're trying to market her towards
it.
Somebody, and if it markets towards the cartoon best, try to get that audience. Mm-hmm. If you're trying to keep a character going.
Agreed. All right, Speed Force.
Added it.
Yeah, I like that.
I liked it too. Okay. It wasn't bad. It wasn't great, but it wasn't bad.
No. But it was a good. I like the Wally West with his kids kind of the feel.
Like the turtle.
That. Yeah.
Yeah, the Turbine show.
Turbine was cool. And I liked his interactions with Diana in this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right, for the preview, Green Arrow.
Liked it a lot.
That was really, really
good. I really
good,
liked
it
a lot. The only thing that I'm a bit on defense about is. This preview starts out with him, you know, going off, you know, somewhere else to find himself wherever.
But it ends with him coming back.
But it's just like, that was fast. In 8 pages, you went off and came back, so now the issue, main stories start with him being back there. So,
but it sets a different tone.
It was good. The art is
the art
is
I thought
phenomenal.
Was,
I think Patrick Zurcher's art's great.
Yep.
And the tone's good.
Who is the writer?
The writer
some
is
guy, Benjamin Pierce.
Yeah, I was
or
looking
something.
At that name.
He's the guy that did the two issue arc Terminal in Batman.
Oh, that was good.
Okay.
I like that.
Okay. Yeah.
But yeah, no, I thought that
Benjamin
was very
Percy.
Good.
No, I'll be on board with this book when it. So.
All right, you're on board with it. I guess we all have to be on board.
Yeah.
All right, move along. Keep this quick. Superman.
I liked it.
I liked
this
that.
This was good.
It
was
good.
I liked it. The only thing.
All, for what it was and what they were trying to tell, I
it think didn't really have a solid, like, tie up at the end, but it was.
I don't
still,
think it. I don't necessarily
but I think
know
I
if it
need
did.
To.
I mean, it wasn't going to tie.
But
it
no,
tied up for
I liked
what
how it had the Flashpoint guys and kind of going. You know, I can tell when somebody's doing something wrong. Or,
yeah, and you're not. Yeah,
you're not.
Yeah, you're not a bad guy.
I didn't understand how they were making Captain. What's his
you
name?
You don't know how they made
Captain,
the baby?
Captain Thunder. Because Captain Thunder wasn't very.
He wasn't very heroic.
He kind of just.
Kind they
of
were deep. Hiding
he
from
He didn't
him.
Seem like the Captain Thunder that. You remember it was a bunch of kids?
Yeah.
And
they all
the Shazam kids.
And it just didn't seem right.
True, good point. Yeah. Well, I think they needed that because
well,
of Shazam. But Shazam in the Convergence book.
Oh, okay.
He's kind of a bad guy.
Yeah. Everyone else from. Yeah, Flashpoint was kind of a hero, except for him, you're right. Oh, but no,
what was the preview?
It was good. The
was
preview.
Doomed.
I didn't. I started
doomed.
It and didn't finish it.
It was just okay.
That book's doomed.
This is weird. It's like this college kid can turn to a doomsday, but he's not really the doomsday we are all familiar with,
right?
And it's kind of like there's like a buddy vibe going on to it as well.
Let me ask you a question. Do you get the he's gay vibe from that?
I kind of did.
Yeah, there was kind of
hints
wrong
with that.
No, it's okay, not that there's anything
checking.
Wrong with it, but
Doom.
No, it's just a new thing.
That's the new
I
thing.
I don't know who the now, nobody tell me. Things. I don't know who the writer is, but you're saying that they changed something, right? They changed it. It's Scott Lindell, isn't it?
It
you
is.
Knew. Yeah.
No, I didn't know that.
It is.
That's what he does. He isn't on board with everybody else.
This is Doomsday.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, that's the same
he's
thing
a,
he did
he's
with
a version
Tim Drake.
Of Doomsday.
Isn't he on something else, though? I did see he was on something else. One of the other
I'll
ones.
Say this, though. Reading it, like, it wasn't bad.
Red Hood and the Outlaws.
Yeah.
That's
don't we're skipping ahead.
Oh, I didn't know
calm
there were
yourself
more.
Down. Slow your
There's
roll.
One more.
But no, reading it wasn't bad.
No.
But, I don't know if I'm that interested in it, but, like, I don't like Scott Lobdell, but, like, it didn't read bad.
I don't like Scott Lobdell at all.
I think it's just a good book aimed at, like, a teenage demographic.
Yeah.
So it's fun. All right. And for our last book, we have Titans.
I like that.
I like this a lot.
Yeah. Oh, that one, yeah. One was good.
Because the first one ended on a pretty big cliffhanger.
Yeah.
And this had a lot of, like, twists and turns on it as well. Yeah. So it was pretty solid issue.
I liked how they were just like, you stay with your daughter.
Mm-hmm.
We'll go take care of this. And that was one of the issues that's kind of tying into Convergence 6, which I guess is this new
is
one,
it?
Right?
Oh, yeah, except in San Francisco.
I don't know how
they see an explosion, and then they had
I don't
that
remember
one.
It.
And for the preview, we have Red Hood and Arsenal.
I didn't read that.
I don't
that.
Like the art.
I did not like.
I don't like his look, where he's wearing some sort of like Marty McFly vest. he has like this very odd. Yeah, it's just like, I guess it's not as inflatable as it looked, but it just looked very.
He's going to drown.
Like, why does? And then I don't like it when they have these characters show like not emotion, but like he's wearing a mask. He can't have a bunch of things going
that,
on.
Honestly. It's weird. Nice man.
What?
That was the owner of Pittsburgh Comics.
His views don't reflect this story.
I'm sorry. His views don't reflect the podcast. My problem is I feel like these two characters, more than any other characters in DC's lineup, are depicted very differently in
every book they're in.
Yeah.
Especially Jason Todd.
Yes.
Jason Todd, his role in Batman Eternal, I liked better than I've ever liked it for a while. And, like, there were points where Jason Todd, since they brought him back, since before New 52, they have jumped all over the place where that character stands on who he is and what he acts like. Because he's a very different Jason Todd, art-wise and personality, how they write him.
And this art right here is terrible.
Since the beginning. Yeah.
I mean, it wasn't bad in the pages before, but once you saw them without their helmets on,
it got
pretty bad.
Well, we already heard Colin's opinion on that.
Colin thinks,
let this one go.
Until after we turn off the podcast. Yeah. Then we're going to go crazy. Yeah.
All right.
Comic books.
That's our convergence format now.
Okay.
Wow. Yeah. See how was that? Better.
Yeah, that was good.
We still good.
Two more I want to talk to. Two more I want to talk about, just because they were number ones. Arcadia number one, that's from Arkea. Boom. Very interesting where they're just... I forget if it's a disease or something's going on in the world, and they've found a way to take your consciousness and download it basically into a hard drive. Massive hard drives. But so they're keeping all these people there. And then it gets political where they have representation and like the president of the world has to go into the computer to talk to these people. And it's just a really interesting high concept type thing. And these different computers are kept all around the world.
Why?
Rules are
taking
to
put them books back.
Hey, be nice.
Why are you two saying
the other one I want to talk about was Swords of Sorrow, which is a new one from Dynamite, basically involving all of their female characters.
Okay.
The main characters, Vampirella, Red Sonja, Jungle Girl.
They needed a team.
Oh, Kato. And basically...
They do the TNA Force?
Somebody...
Kato is a girl now, I forgot.
Somebody is going out handing them the Swords of Sorrow. Because there's a big battle coming. So they're kind of distributing. And then it turns out that the bad guy has the Chaos Women, who are Lady Death and that kind of group of people. So it was interesting. Not a whole lot to it. There wasn't a lot of story. It was a lot of, fun art, But not bad. But, yeah, I mean, if that's your thing, I think it would definitely work. So that's all I have.
Is TNA Force your thing?
No. Adam, no.
Yeah, we did it.
No.
Do you have anything else?
Do you have anything else? Pat, you good?
I'm good. What's next week?
What's coming out next week?
You didn't read Wicked and Divine?
I did, but I was just talking about number one. Well, I thought it was good, but again, just another good issue.
Yeah.
I like the preview for the next one. I don't know if you saw it, the cover at the back. Each one has been a headshot, and this one is just a neck shot. Because there's
no head.
I just like this one because it's really setting up.
That's how two characters have died so far, has had their heads
beheading.
Conflict amongst the
absolutely,
gods,
absolutely, especially with Bahamut,
the Bahamut.
So that was good.
What about the dogs
and then teasing back with it, when she thought she might have some sort of power. Yeah,
no, I thought it's just been an excellent, excellent book.
That's the only other one I had.
Okay, so next week we have A-Force.
Whoa,
what does the A stand for?
Yeah,
Avengers.
Oh.
Pat or Josh? Archie versus Predator 2.
You to being the dirty old man.
Yeah, apparently so.
Avengers World 21, which has to be wrapping up because they all have to be. Batman 40, the third print, in case you missed the first print.
I did.
You didn't miss the second print.
I missed the second print, yeah. Bloodshot Reborn 2.
Nice.
Carpe Noctum. I love when they do this. We have issue 1 and 2 shipping next week.
Nice.
Great, guys. Thanks. Convergence 7, and then the Convergence ones are Adventures of Superman, Batman the Outsiders, Batman Shadow of the Bat that was supposed to come this week, we're getting next week, Flash, Green Lantern Corps, Hawkman, Justice League America, New Teen Titans, Superboy and the Legion, Swamp Thing, and Wonder Woman. Daredevil 15.1, which seems really odd place for a jumping on point.
jumping on a jump off.
Yeah. Deadpool Secret Wars.
Oh, yeah.
Dirk Gently's Holistic Detective Agency. I personally am looking forward to that. I enjoyed that book that I read a long time ago. Donald Duck number one. So the next wave of IDW's Disney stuff. Eight number four.
Does that get a What the Duck cover?
It does not. Empire Rising number two, which sold quite well. Fade Out number six.
It would have, if Marvel would have done something like
that. Insufferable number one, Adam. Captara number two. Number one was interesting. That's Chip Zdarsky, kind of little outer space thing. Mad Max Fury Road, Nux and Immortal Joe. I'm looking forward to that, but I'm really looking forward to Mad Max. And just finding out that the guy who played the bad guy in the first one was playing the bad guy in this one. Yeah, it opens this weekend. Yeah.
It's all good.
Master of Kung Fu number one. That's a Secret Wars tie-in. Ninjak number three, Josh. Oh, Killstrike, which is an homage to the 90s heroes by the guy who did Polarity. The head lead singer of Say Anything is doing one where something like a kid's dad is actually like a 90s like cable type character.
Okay.
Fool me once, not twice. Though.
Yeah, okay. Planet Hulk, Secret Wars. Psycho Bonkers, number one. I just like the name. Secret Identities 4, Pat. Okay. Star Wars Battle World, number one. Spider-Verse, number one. You know you're in on that one, Adam. You love
What's
Spider-Verse.
That Star Wars book?
Star
Battle
Wars.
Battle Worlds?
Secret Wars Battle Worlds. Oh. That's the MODOK.
You did Star Wars.
Oh, Battle did I? I'm sorry. Secret Wars Battle World. And then we got Star Wars, number five. Ultimate End. Okay, you going to get that one?
Yes. Yes.
No, you don't even know. You got to pick one.
What would the Star Wars country in Battle World be called?
Death Staria.
Jartopia.
And Valhalla Mad, which is one of the image number ones that they...
So it's Alderaan.
That they hyped at Image Expo. And that's it.
How's things going on Alderaan? Too soon.
You guys. Okay, that's certainly long enough.
That's a podcast.
We've talked way too long. Adam,
it's
way to go.
Fault.
It's not my fault.
Plus, we stopped for ice cream.
I know. Well, this last segment's been an hour and 41 minutes.
We blew through Convergence.
I know. I'm sorry. We'll have to figure out something else. No more talking about Avengers. Okay. Fair enough.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Okay. We'll talk to you next week. No more Avengers Age of Ultron talk.
So don't ask for it.
Yeah. Well, unless we get specific requests, then we'll talk about it. We'll talk to you next week. See ya.
Than a bullet leaping buildings in a single bound. Came from out the shadows, cause that's how we get down. I'm in your town. Walk between billionaires and evil scientists. Sorcerer supreme, all the teenagers are buying this. Gamma radiation, nobody could mess with this. Hold steady with venomous symbiotes in my penmanship. Your friendly neighborhood MC back on the scene. You wouldn't like me when I'm angry. All I'm seeing is green and red and blue. I hold the shield for America. Winter soldier out Siberia. Rocking any microphone that's near to ya. Clobbering it till in a coffin you sit. Agenda for extinction, bring out the horsemen of the apocalypse. Part of an evil brotherhood, acolytes that believe. Super friends who make beats and cats that MC. It's the area code to the planet that we protect. The Infinity Watch is now back in effect. Now, put your hands up like this. For all the vigilantes in the streets taking a risk. For all the heroes undercover ducking, pressing the pits. For all the villains that he's scheming on that doomsday tip. That's how we do it. Superpowered MC who can spit. That's how we do it. Superhuman on tracks that I flip, yeah, because you ain't seen it quite like this, because that's how we do it in the 616. With my ruby quartz shades and my colored rings, laser scope rifles ain't concerned with them other things. These rappers wanna talk about ice chains and fancy cars. Me, I'm trying to build mansion in Asgard and fund the Hellfire Society. Studio is Cerebro, mind patterns and rhyme, because I rap about what I feel, though. You hear the rhythm and you're hearing the track. I'm here to take it back to days of future past in my raps. I'm the Stan Lee of the streets, demand things when I speak, like your attention and respect when I jam these in the beats. And my tape deck pops, my mixtapes still rock. They're in your system, that's what Soundwave's telling me on the block. Ricky Bobby Drift's the only ice that I rock with, and mental telepathy is the only style that I talk with. Cool. frozen up in your mind during this song, been freestyling there the whole time. Now, put your hands up like this for all the vigilantes in the streets taking a risk, for all the heroes undercover tucking press in the pits, for all the villains steady scheming on that doomsday tip. That's how we do it. Superpowered MC who can spit. That's how we do it. Superhuman on these tracks that I flip. Yeah, cause you ain't seen it quite like this. Because that's how we do it in the 616. Hey yo Vince, drop the beat out. I wanna go Pietro on these cats, right? Yeah. Spitting a rhythm that nobody's getting. I'm down to the infinite watches. The wisdom will battle these women and children. I'm ripping tracks. I go Mark 5 with a power pack. Hawkeye, what I'm aiming at. Stop time, watch your chain react. Can't lie, I'm a brainiac. Little they know, I'm still in the show. I'm filling the streets, unlimited flow. The second of Doc Ock when I'm killing it, yo. Please, shots to your chest. You're rocking a vest like Cable did. I'm hungry as Wally West at a kitchen table. Nobody will save your kid. I'm Frank with a gun. I'm Hank with his son. I'm Rob when I skip lunch eating rappers, man. So thanks for the gum. I'm Stark's wallet back before all these banks had a run. I'm Lex Luthor when I rap. I'm trying to blank out the sun. Cause all I see are friendly faces and shifty eyes. Keeping these anonymous commenters honest, making them realize. You love to hate me on the net when I try. That's why you get no love when you're up on my block. Now, put your hands.